Well, good morning, everybody. Why don't we take our seats and we'll begin our session for this morning. It's a pleasure to be able to introduce to you Pastor Derek Jacobs with the St. Luke Community United Methodist Church. Pastor Jacobs completed his undergraduate work at Kansas State University, where he earned a B.S. in Family Studies and Human Services. He went on to continue his education at the Perkins School of Theology here at SMU, where he earned his Master's of Divinity degree. He is happily married, the proud father of a four-year-old boy, Dayson, who I'm sure keeps him real busy. Thanks, Pastor Jacobs, for being with us and performing this morning's invocation. Please rise for the invocation.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this day that you have made. Lord, rejoice, and we give you praise. God, we thank you for these leaders who make up this council, who you have set aside, God, and who you have appointed for such a time as this. We ask, God, that you will continue to lead and guide the discussion and decisions that are made for the betterment of your kingdom and for the betterment of this city. Now, God, we ask you to bless these people that live in this city and that you will continue to bless this city. We thank you, God, for we believe the best is still yet to come, and we give you praise. In your name do we pray. Amen.
Ms. Davis, would you like to lead us in the pledge?
I pledge
you, sir. As I'm sure everybody is aware, this was a very interesting weekend just passed in a number of different ways. Clearly, we had the world and the nation focused on Dallas and on North Texas for the NBA All-Star Game, and we happened to have a little winter storm, more snow than I think any of us here in Dallas had seen. And both of those, I would tell you, while they presented challenges, I think showed the strength and the dedication of a number of individuals in our city. And I would like to bring up the people that were involved from our city standpoint in working with the NBA All-Star event, and then also, which was planned, and then also those individuals that were thrown into work in an unanticipated event, and that was dealing with the inclement weather event. So if I could, I'd like to ask, and Mary, if you'd join me, I'd appreciate it, Kenny Shaw and the whole OEM staff, Chief David Brown, Chief Vincent Goldbeck, Lieutenant Jeff Kottner, Sergeant Paul Younger, Chief Eugene Campbell, Chief Deborah Carlin, Chief Kevin Sykes, Frank Poe, and Lori Chance, all of these individuals, I can tell you, spent a lot of time and effort, because I saw them at a lot of different events over the weekend, that were working on the NBA All-Star Game. Overall attendance figures are not really available in total, but we plan to host tens of thousands, and the reality is we probably ended up with somewhere in the area of 200,000 and perhaps even more by some estimates that I heard. Folks that came to Dallas for the event left yesterday or left on Monday praising the region. I think the articles of praise are still continuing in the newspaper. I saw a couple more of those today. Everybody had a great time. I had a chance to visit with the commissioner on down, the people associated with the NBA. They were just absolutely enthusiastic about the work that the city did and the events that surrounded the entire NBA All-Star Game. And I think, as we saw on Sunday, there were over 108,000 people. It was not only the largest attendance at a basketball game, it was the largest attendance at a professional sports event in the United States, too. There were very, very few incidents. There were some minor incidents that our police officers had to handle, but basically for this major event and a number of cities that had hosted it in the past several years, and it ended up with significant issues, we saw only small events, and it, to be truthful with you, I think it's fair to say that it went off without a hitch. Hopefully it will turn out to be a good practice session for what will be another great event in less than a year now, and that is when North Texas and Dallas host the Super Bowl. We can thank hundreds of city employees who planned for months to make this event, and I can tell you the planning was detailed and it was meticulous. Last week I got a chance to sit down with Chief Brown and Chief Kunkel walking through some of the preparations, and I can tell you they had a list of every single venue where there was any type of an event, party, or anything else, and I think that type of planning went into the fact that we had almost no issues at all. Many other departments, in addition to the police department, the ones that are represented here, were involved in this in different locations all through the city. I would tell you the collaboration between the city departments and also not only within the city departments, but also the city departments interacting with hotels, the convention center, all the other different venues and different groups that got into it that were involved in this, as well as the NBA, was just amazing. We included a very strong police and fire presence that was noticeable. I think in my conversations with Chief Brown, in some cases, our coverage in particular areas of the city was tenfold what it normally would be. The Emergency Operations Center, Kenny, and City Hall served as a command post and worked, I think fair to say, exactly as planned. Went through exactly what we need to do. First and foremost, I want to also recognize Ryan Evans, who was first assistant city manager, who was responsible for managing the entire effort. Come on up here, Ryan. You need to be up here, too. Kenny Shaw and the staff of the Office of Emergency Management, you guys did an absolutely terrific job. Our police department, again, stood up and did exactly what they're supposed to do and what we expect them to do, but they even went beyond expectations. You've got the individuals up here, Chief Brown, Chief Goldbeck, Lieutenant Cotner, Sergeant Younger, DPD Public Information Officers. They were involved, especially getting the message out. Thanks for all of you doing your job. Clearly, the Dallas Fire and Rescue Department, a big thanks to the team, too. Chief Campbell, Chief Carlin, Chief Snipes, and the entire Public Relations Office Department within the DPD, a big thanks to you. And finally, to Frank Poe and Lori Chance from the Convention Center. They were awful busy. I think all number of the council got a chance to go over to the jam session. I think we were all impressed with the size of it. And then, although perhaps we started a little bit slow on Thursday, by the time we got to Friday and Saturday, it clearly ramped up, and we had a terrific crowd in there. And again, I think the NBA was very impressed and excited about it. There are many others on the teams that were on the front lines and conducted themselves in a positive manner, and they were truly ambassadors for our entire city. And on behalf of the entire Dallas City Council, we simply want to bring you up here and say a big thanks. There were a lot of hours that went into this. We saw a little bit of it, but most of it, like a great iceberg, was below the waterline. It was an effort that really made a difference, and I can tell you, people left this city, they were impressed with the city, they were impressed with the way that they were handled, and I can tell you, I think this is going to be very instrumental as we move to the Super Bowl, but even beyond that, to position Dallas and North Texas as the premier place for large sporting events. Because of the stadium in Arlington and everything, the venues here in Dallas, I think that we are in very, very good shape for that. And it wouldn't have been the case without the hard work of you. So we're giving you a big pat on the back and say, let's get ready for next February now. Mary, do you want to add anything on this before we talk about snowstorms?
Snowstorms.
Let's go to snowstorms. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Excuse me, Ms. Mitchell. Ms. Mitchell, I want to say something. Yes, please. Before they go away, Mr. Mayor, I am so glad that you brought them up. Of course, they did just an outstanding job, but of course it starts with leadership, Ms. Sim and Mr. Evans. And when you combine the NBA All-Star Game and the biggest snowstorm in 30 years, you are challenged. They did an exceptional job in handling that. I had the personal experience of being downtown after Slam Dunk. I had to come downtown. I had to come down.
Were you in that contest?
I was in a Slam Dunk,
Mayor.
I'm
sorry.
I was picking up my son and a friend, and I was amazed at the orderliness of the traffic downtown. It was chock-a-block. You couldn't move for several minutes, close to an hour. But all that time, it was orderly. The police and fire presence was there. Y'all had clearly planned to the nth degree, and I was very impressed. My young son and his friend were also impressed at what the Dallas Police and Fire Department did during that time. They felt safe being on the street. They walked down the street. I would ask and suggest that in planning for the Super Bowl, we think about making downtown the center city a walk zone only and keep the vehicles on the perimeter, but please know that it could not have been done better. Thank you. Congratulations.
I appreciate that. Okay. Follow up. I think there are some.
All right. Mayor, hold on.
One more thing, and I would like to echo that. My son, too, was downtown both nights, and it was very orderly, and as a matter of fact, so orderly. It was very crowded. That's what he said. He said you just had to be very patient and be prepared for that. It was very orderly. Even in the Galleria, which I am really not kidding, I have not seen crowds like that even during the Christmas time. Mary used to be happy because they were buying things and they had all sorts of packages. You could not even get into any of the parking garages because it was so crowded. Orderly on the outside. They had extra patrols out there. They had some police officers out there. They had police officers on the inside. They had extra security there. Same at North Park, but North Park was not as crowded as honestly, as Galleria was. But that situation was handled very well as well. So my compliments to all the emergency staff that helped prepare that. It could have been really just quite disastrous had you not, because of the snow, because of the bad weather. So my compliments to the staff, Mary, you and Ryan as well.
Thank you, Ms. Coop. Ms. Madrano.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Well, I want to say, not crowded, I want to say that the crowd and downtown was vibrant. I walked through downtown three of the nights, and it was, I don't know, it was just the crowd. It was like safety in numbers. People were walking up and down Young Street, Ackard, Irve, and I think they were having a really good time. I saw parking lots filled. I saw just people walking, families walking, strollers. And Mary, I too bought my share at the NBA store at the convention center. There was lines to get into that store. Like I said, I bought my share and can't wait to see the sales tax numbers for this weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Madrona. Mr. Carraway. Thank you, Mayor. Let me just say this, and I said yesterday in public safety, and acknowledge both police and fire. You all did a tremendous job. And more importantly, you know you all saw me because I was in the mix. I had my long T-shirts on and my NBA shoes. It was a fantastic vision and a dream. You saw me, didn't you? You saw me back, yeah. Red and white. I was for the West. But here's the deal, more importantly. We set the tone. And we set the tone because people left Dallas, Texas happy. They left the airports grinning. They had a good time. And they did not just have a good time downtown Dallas. I went out on the tollway to that club called Steam, and those people were parked, and the tollway was jammed trying to get into those establishments. It was all over the city. We have shined. And to you, the mayor, and to all of my colleagues on the Dallas City Council, we did a tremendous job because our police, our fire, our staff, our city manager, you all put Dallas on the map once again. Now, the challenge is this. We've invited the world to come to the Super Bowl. And we're going to keep our house clean. We're going to continue to do all these great things because there's a lot of high energy here. With Mayor, through your leadership, and Mary, and Ryan, everybody involved, every city employee and every citizen of this city, we put Dallas back on the map. We're shining, and we're getting ready for the Super Bowl and other bowls and other things for years to come. Thank you.
Right. And Von Phil and Linda, you raised it too. And I would say, even back to October when we opened the Performing Arts Center, and on a couple Saturday nights when we were all downtown, all of a sudden getting caught, quote, get caught in traffic, and some of the other events, when all of a sudden now at the Windspear and the Meyerson, at the Wiley, there's events going on clearly this weekend at American Airlines Center, another basketball game this evening. I mean, how long did everybody hope that somebody would say there was a traffic jam in downtown Dallas on Saturday night? So I think it's starting to show, as you pointed out, the vitality in downtown, more people moving down there, the events, and then really the opportunity to have the venues now to be able to put on something like the NBA All-Star Game. So, terrific. Let me also use a bridge then to introduce, and thank you very much for all of you being up here. I want to bring up a couple of other people, because while this event we had a chance to plan for and did a marvelous job, we also ended up with another event this weekend that we didn't quite have the chance to plan for. And I'd like to bring up representing an awful lot of people. So these are kind of representing a lot of bodies that are behind them. Gilbert Aguilar, Willis Winters, Joey Zapata, Mary Nix, and Kelly Hyde. They represent, of course, respectively, street services, the Parks and Recreation, code compliance, sanitation, and the Trinity Watershed Management. Now, all of these individuals thought we were going to have a great weekend and they get a chance to watch the All-Star activities and those sorts of things. But as I think all of you are aware, a little bit before that All-Star game, we had a little bit of surprise. We looked like Chicago for about 24 hours is what it was. We ended up with a record 12.5 inches of snow. We never thought we could get 12.5 inches of snow, even over a course of a couple of years. But we ended up in one fell swoop. But in typical city employee fashion, our employees rose to the challenges and mobilized to help clear major streets, the alleys, public rights of way, hundreds of downed tree limbs, all of the challenges that came with that. I can tell you that I received a question once of where were our snow plows. I mentioned that they were in New York. But it was a challenge for a lot of us on individual. I think we've all got stories. I got stuck in the snow. I think a lot of people did. But our people clearly came to the call. Street services, sanitation services, Trinity Watershed Management, code compliance, Mo Clean and Parks and Recreation all came together. They all sent teams of employees literally across the city with chainsaws to cut limbs in an effort to clear the various debris and help get the city back into business. And I have to tell you, there were an awful lot of hard workers who had storm debris of their own at their homes. And many of them had their power that was out too, and they still came in and do the job that all the citizens of Dallas expect them to, and they did again beyond expectations. All of this is commendable, and I just want to say a thank you to each and every one of you, but importantly, you representing so many different employees that can't be up here that are literally doing exactly at this moment the sort of things that we continue need to do to run the city. But I hope that you'll convey to each and every one of them our heartfelt thanks, and again, all of us representing 1.3 million people in this city, and to be truthful with you, an awful lot of people throughout this region that are affected because they may work in Dallas and don't live here, but are touched in some way by the city of Dallas. They are what make, all of those employees are what makes Dallas a very special place to both live, work, and play, and we have a very dedicated and talented task force. And Mary, I also want to commend you for the leadership that you provided. You were very aggressive with me on texting, emails, and everything, and we all appreciate that. So on behalf of the Dallas City Council, I want to say a thank you to you, to all of the employees, for kind of rising above what it could have been a very difficult situation. I think the best indication of it was during that All-Star game. There was a lot of kidding about it in all of my conversations on Thursday. By Friday, it was kind of an event past. By Saturday, there was almost no mention of it. Everybody was kind of having a little bit of a laugh, but all the activities went forward. Great crowds came out, and it was just a terrific event. So to all of these individuals that I called up, again, I want to say thank you to you. We have been getting, I think, all of us a lot of positive feedback on the city's response to this weather, and I just want you to know how much everybody on the City Council, as well as all the citizens that you work for, appreciate. appreciate everything you did. Mary, can I turn it over to you for a couple comments?
I did want to share with you that part of the planning process was a tabletop exercise that imagined a snowstorm during this event. So it was helpful planning. So we try to imagine everything we might be having to face. I wanted to take the opportunity to thank the field crews that can't be here today. They are amazing folks, and if you've been around as long as I have, you know that when we have bad weather, you don't have to worry about calling them. They're watching the weather, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, they're coming in, loading up trucks, and getting ready to go, and they're just really amazing. And in this circumstance, we had 150 field employees from four different departments, and this leadership brought these departments together, brought Mo Clean and streets, sanitation parks all together, because we all knew we needed to be out there with chainsaws getting those trees cleared away. These folks had 1,200 tree calls that they addressed, and most of them had already worked a couple of shifts sanding. So we went from sanding to sawing without missing a beat. It was amazing. Performance, especially considering that a lot of them had their own snow and trees challenges in their own homes. And I think it's a really good example of the customer service that we want to be providing, that they forgot their own issues for a moment and came and helped the citizens of Dallas. Now, when this all began and it looked so pretty, we really thought we wouldn't have a whole lot of problems. So we said, well, just notify us if you have a tree down, call 311. Well, we're going to change that a bit. You don't need to bother to call 311. We will be working on Saturdays and overtime to get the trees cleaned up. We do think it will take us about 4 weeks, 4 to 5 weeks, so we ask you for patience with that. We are asking the residents to put their trees and things at the curb. Sanitation will collect them on the normal bulk days. We will not be issuing any citations from code until the 15th of March, so that will give us a month to get our work cleaned up. Storm debris will be chopped up, and you can have it for your springtime plantings, and that will be available at the Bachman Transfer Center just in time for your bulbs to come up. So, again, to the guys that are gals that were out in the field, thank you. That was hard, nasty, cold work. You did an amazing job, and y'all's leadership was a big contributor to that, so thank you.
All right. Go ahead.
I would like to say a few words again. The leadership up here represents the hundreds of employees that demonstrated once again the excellence in customer service, their dedication to our citizens. They really proved once more that they were able to rise to the occasion and demonstrate what excellence in customer service is all about. I'm extremely proud to be representing them. And again, this is about our field employees, so thank you very, very much.
All right. Mayor, we got some comments. Let's go with Mr. Atkins, you first, then Ms. Davis, then Ms. Madrano, and then Councilman Newman.
Okay, again, I just want to thank more clean and the sanitation truck. But one thing, Mary, you made a statement that we do not have snow plow. We do have snow plow. And I want to thank the sanitation truck. When you drove down the alley, you cleared the way so people get out of the alley. And so we did find a way to be creative to make sure our alley was clear. So I just want to make that statement.
Thank you very much. Ms. Davis?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank sanitation for coming out just in the South Dallas Fair Park area and other parts of my district. But, Mayor, we had some lights that was out. We had about, 150 lights that was out throughout the city of Dallas. There were some people who were without lights for about 5 to 6 days. And I'm asking that perhaps we meet with Encore to see if some of those people can be prorated on some of their lights. A lot of people was out of lights for about 5 days, and that's a long time to be without lights because of some of the fallen trees and debris on the line. So if we can meet with Encore and you can see if they can work out something with some of those individuals who was without power for about 5 days, and looking at their light bill, I sure would appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Ms. Madrano?
I won't take too long. Thank you, Mr. Carraway. I also like to thank the field crew. By that morning, on Friday morning, Forrest Turner had called me, and I said, well, I have a list of the streets that are blocked, And he said, we've got them already, and so I really would like to thank them because they really cleared out a lot of streets in District 2. I know that they use Mo Clean as well, so I want to thank them. Also, what I failed to mention a while ago was I know that MBA brought a lot of, a lot of people to our city, but also the MBA did so much in our neighborhoods. I know that I saw the mayor at one of the schools. They completely redid a library, a court outside, the lunchroom, and a couple of other rooms. And it was amazing when we walked in what the school looked like, and then when we walked out, it was the school was completely redone. And I know that that will last for a long, long time, longer than what we remember that the MBA was here. But they do make a difference in a community when they come in. And I know that they did a couple of things in Miss Davis's district and in other districts as well. But they have left and made a complete difference in some of these schools.
And I'll follow that. In addition to the school, and there were, Pauline, over 200 volunteers that were there with us that we had a chance to work with. Later on that day, I was back out at Macon Street in Miss Davis's district. And they were painting houses, cleaning up some of the houses, painting a house with Dirk Nowitzki is an experience, I will tell you. He did the high spots, I did the low spots. But they were out there and they were working very hard. And that was really the culmination of what was about a three-month effort with building together organizations. You did a great job of being out there, because I know Carol and I were out there about a month, I guess not quite a month ago, in working with them too. So we're very appreciative of that too.
Well, we had a lot of fun because a couple of us were on the ladder, and then Chris Boss comes in, and he finished the job for us. He put some tenants way up high, and so we just put the ladder up, and he continued to do the work. So it was a lot of fun.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Madrona. Mr. Newman.
Thank you, Mayor, very much. Mary, you and your team did a very good job. It really shows that government can step forward and do the job. It was clearly Team Dallas. I think at least citizens in my district that I heard you were excited about the snow and then petrified about the trees and then petrified about the roads. And I'm glad the manager, you're communicating this morning about the 30-day grace period for bulk trash. That has been, of the last several days, been a big topic of what do we do with our trees? Are we going to get cited? It's good that neighbors are worried about the rules as far as bulk trash out to the curb. That's a very good thing, actually. Mary, are we going to communicate, besides the announcement this morning, about this 30-day period and trash removal as far as bulk? How else can we communicate? Okay, I'm hoping the Dallas Morning News and the other media that's listening this morning will also pick that up, because it's important that the neighborhoods and the citizens understand that. But I'm very pleased that, you know, a little bit of winter down here in Big D helps us old northern Yankees out here, you know, once every 30 years. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Newman. Ms. Coop. All right. Thank you, Ms. Coop. Ms. Hunt. Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Mr. Mayor.
I appreciate it. And before we jump on, I think it's also important that, and our hearts go out to an awful lot of people who lost their power, whose power went out. Again, the city's not involved in that aspect of it here in Dallas, but I think all of us, our heart goes out because there were an awful lot of people that were put in real hardship on the loss of power. It's a tough situation when you have lines that go out with the additional weight of the snow and that sort of thing. So just to anybody listening, I think all of us want to let you know that we were concerned about that, and I know a lot of folks are working on it. I would like to, for our next presentation, call up a gentleman by the name of David Cook, who we've had a chance to work with. Dave, where are you? Get up here. And as a little bit of surprise, I'm going to invite a good friend of Dave's up, somebody by the name of Kathy Cook, and ask her to come up and join us. Dave doesn't quite know this part of it. Dave has served with our city for the last 28 years, and he is one of the individuals that probably is not very well known by most of the million-plus residents of our city. But I can tell you his work over the last 28 years has really produced enormous benefits for the citizens. All of us on the council, as well as the staff of the city, I can assure you know Dave very, very well. He is the gentleman that has led the money side of what we do. And I can tell you, having been involved, as all of the council is, in working with you, Dave, we understand how professional that is run. And when we've seen all the awards, all the accolades that have been received by the city for the management, especially the fiscal side, we understand working with you exactly why that's happened. Dave is retiring, and his last day will be this Friday. And we simply wanted to bring him up here, say a big thank you to you, give a proclamation, and let everybody know how much that you've contributed to our city. Both to Dave and to Kathy, knowing that Kathy provided an awful lot of the support, especially those times when either the council or Mary were ruthless on trying to get that last piece of analysis or that last budget change or whatever it was on a late Saturday night or a Sunday morning or whatever it happened to be. Kathy was the one that usually made the sacrifice on those things. We wanted to recognize both of you for all that you've done. I'm not going to read all the pieces of it, but I do want you to understand this is a proclamation, and it really is a heartfelt thanks that comes behind it. It points out that Dave began his tenure back in October of 1981. He was originally started with the city as an operations research analyst back in those days in the water utilities area. He holds a Bachelor of Business Administration degree with a double major in Accounting and Operations Research and Information from Eastern Michigan University. We're glad we got you down here into Dallas. He served as the Chief Financial Officer for the city since October of 2000, and he's worked continuously to improve the organizational administrative processes in that area. That area, of course, includes the operating capital budgets, includes all the payroll, all the accounts payable, the financial reporting, cost accounting, fixed assets, the cash and debt management, utilities management, procurement, and communication information services. You can see all of the areas that fall within the CFO, but sometimes you don't naturally think of them falling in that area. Dave had an enormous impact on all of those. His years of experience and wisdom made him one of the most resourceful chief financial officers in any city, anywhere in the nation, much less historically in Dallas. His dedication to the work, but more important than that, the dedication and love for the community, for what that work means for the community, is something that has allowed him to provide the residents of Dallas really extraordinary customer service, and it has also improved, it has also proved his impeccable leadership, and we're just so thankful for that. Hardworking, loyal city leader, and leader is the right thing. All of us have seen you, not only in the areas that you're involved in, but the leadership that you've provided the service. So, Dave, to you, understanding that in some ways Friday will mark the end of an era, we just want to communicate a big thank you to you. You are leading a very, which any leader should do, leading a very strong department. We're appreciative of that. That's a department that'll step in and continue to make you look good years in the future. But we're just so thankful for all the service that you've given. Dave, Kathy, thank you so much. Interesting, you've got all the council who stood up, but importantly, you've got all the staff in the city who also stood up to recognize you too. Dave, I know the entire council wants to get a picture with you, and we'll probably get all the senior people out here, so we'll get one big picture, have some fun with it. But you want to say a couple remarks in advance of that?
I'll try. I'm a pretty emotional person, so thank you. Wow, this is unexpected, especially bringing my wife here. I did not know. I do want to thank Kathy. She has sacrificed a lot over the years. She found out many, many times what it's like to be a single parent. She carried the burden at home, and I always appreciated that. Just as you had the four representatives of the departments here that acted during the storm event this weekend, I'm really a representative of our organization. Over the years, I've had a lot of different jobs. The mayor, thankfully, didn't read all of them. I've been fortunate to move around the organization, work with and for a lot of great folks.
and probably I think two of the people that I hate to start any type of list, but I have two people in the room that typify the organization and the people that I've worked with and worked for. And they're the two people that I've had the longest 10-year relationship with. When I went to be budget director and became CFO, I had a secretary management assistant, Kathy Becker, that worked for me and with me for about 9 years. And she's sitting at the back table. She worked directly for me for that long. And because I had so many different jobs around the organization, I never had one boss for very long. My longest 10-year boss, by far, is Mary Soom. And I've worked for her since October 2001, so that's a good long relationship. Learned a lot from her, appreciate her guidance, assistance, and confidence. And she typifies all the bosses that I've had. And simply said, Mary Soom is great for Dallas. There's no doubt about that. So I point out those two individuals to say thank you to everybody that I've worked with and worked for over the years. It's been a long time. It's been a great career, very rewarding. As the mayor said, I have a strong sense of involvement with the community, and it's been a very, very rewarding career, and thank you.
Thank you. Can you hold on 1 second, Ms. Cook? I'm going to reserve my comments to Friday.
Okay.
So make sure you drive the right car on Friday.
Which one do you want?
It's the one with the best wheels on it, because I'm taking your tires. Thank you, and good luck. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And what most people don't know about Dave is that he was a child prodigy. He was only 10 years old when he started working here at the city 28 years ago. I don't know what your anti-aging secret is, but I want to find it out before Friday, please. Dave, I'm going to miss you personally. I know Dallas will miss you, but I just want to say for myself, it's been important to me to understand the budgets, and I had tons of questions, and you were always so patient with me and got me all the information I needed and answered probably the same question 5 or 6 times. And you were very kind that way, and you were extremely helpful and always very transparent, and that's what we need here at the city, especially in our financial arena. And I think that transparency, it's been recognized nationally, the way that you've put the budget together. So I just wanted to personally say thank you. I'm going to miss you, and I hope you come back here and see us soon.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Mr. Newman?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, Dave, I made a few comments at the last Budget and Finance Committee meeting, and I'll repeat that for citizens that are here today or watching. It indeed is an honor for me to serve as a city councilman now for only 2.5 years, and I'll tell you, one of the great things about the city that I now tell citizens all the time is the great employees we have. And when you campaign as an outsider coming inside, you don't know necessarily what you're getting into and the caliber of people are, and it's so easy to criticize the big city of Dallas and all those people down at City Hall. But I'm here to tell you again very publicly, you clearly epitomize the leadership and the strength of our city. And I can say with high confidence that you leave us in good financial condition. You've provided great financial leadership. You've been accessible to myself as a council member in my learning curve about what our $2.7 billion budget is. And so I'm honored to have served with you. I'm going to miss you. I join Ms. Hunt in her comments. You provide the leadership. And I'll tell you, that's what our citizens count on, is leadership for our city. And you will be missed, I promise you. And I just want to say thank you. And thank you, Kathy, for sharing. And we appreciate your leadership for our city. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Ms. Newman. Mr. Allen.
Dave has acted as a mentor for me as chairman of Budget, Finance, and Audit. We meet every Monday morning, and he has been a mentor. But I'm going to save my comments also really for Friday. But I'm going to address them right now to Kathy. Folks, here at City Hall, one of the things, just like Councilman Newman, I've seen is a dedication of the staff. Day in and day out, around the council. We have what we, you know, red alert day. Red alert. It's a red alert. And when we have red alert, we go to Mary, and she's going to go straight to everybody else around here. And they're working. Dave called me last night. It was, you know, late at night when he called me on a subject matter about something going on today. But at the end of the day, it's those spouses that have to, you know, put up with it and help us out on this, because we are running a big city here, and there's red alerts every single day, a red alert going on. And Kathy, on behalf of this councilman and really for all the spouses that are out there that allow this city to be so great, I appreciate you. So,
thank you, Mr. Allen. Councilwoman Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Terry. Mr. Cook, Godspeed to you as you enter a new phase of your life. As I said to you privately, I want to now say to you publicly, I will miss you. I am glad that you have reached this milestone in your life, but I am sad for the city of Dallas that you will be leaving. You have trained your leadership well. I know we're in good hands, but I will miss you. My constituents will miss you at the town hall meetings. How patient you have been, how well you have spoken. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. Councilmember Natinsky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Dave, I'll make this brief, since if I need you, I'll just drive a couple blocks from where I live and knock on the door, and Kathy will open it, and I'll say, where's Dave? But, you know, seriously, you know, as several of my colleagues have said, you know, anytime you really need to know something about the financial matters of the city, you go to Dave, and he gives you the answers. And if you're not happy with them, he gives them to you again. At least you know that you've gotten the truth from him. You know, I learned shortly after I got on the council to not send any emails. I'm sort of in the habit when you're doing things at night or on the weekend, you think of something that you want to get done on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, so you send an email off, kind of get it off your desk and get it onto somebody else's. Well, I learned very quickly not to send Dave emails at night or on the weekend, because he was still on duty working. He didn't know to turn off the clock when he got home to Kathy and his kids, and he would answer me. I finally got to the point, Dave, don't answer this today. Put it on your agenda for Monday. Take care of it when you get to City Hall. So I appreciate all the, you know, the hard work, the dedication. You know, as several of my colleagues have also said, sometimes the citizens don't understand that the employees of the city take their job seriously. They're passionate about it. They're dedicated about it. And they really roll up their sleeves and do everything they can to help make this a great city. And most of them, like Dave, go way beyond the call of duty. This is not a 9-to-5 job, guys. And Dave epitomizes the dedication that our employees give to the citizens of the city of Dallas. Dave, I'll have some more remarks for you on Friday afternoon. Thank you.
Wouldn't mind. Councilmember Atkins, and then Ms. Coop, and then Mr. Salazar. Again, Dave, I just have to say one thing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And the reason why I have to say that is for the last 2.5 years, we meet every other week before voting agenda for minorities. And one thing I need to tell the colleagues and tell everybody who listens, Dave Cook is a person who started looking out for minority business procurement. And something he did not have to do, he come to every meeting to make sure that minority business have an opportunity to have the knowledge about what bid is going out to the city. Again, Dave, I'm going to miss you, and I'm going to miss you again, and I'll leave my comment to Friday. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Ms. Coop?
You know, I just publicly want to, thank Dave and his wife, too. I found out, had a little bit of a, I know somebody that goes to Dave's church. They gave me a little bit of a heads up. They didn't realize it was secret information that he would be retiring. So the next day we did find out. But just to give you a little personal story about Dave, last week in the very, very complex, or maybe 2 weeks ago, the very, very complex negotiations and of the Highway 161 and NTTA and another project over at Fort Worth called Southwest Parkway, I asked Dave and his staff to come in and try to explain to me the bond underwriting. And let me tell you, that is probably the most complex project that has been done in the Metroplex. And we had several people in there trying to, really going through the numbers and trying to understand if it would be a good thing for Dallas, a good thing for the Metroplex. Dave, I really appreciate that. You went the extra mile. Your staff went the extra mile as well. You always do that. Something that was even outside, really, even though it meant a great deal to our city, it was kind of outside your realm because it was an MTTA project. They added a great deal of value. I was able to speak to it at the RTC. Many of my colleagues were there more intelligently to the subject matter, so I do appreciate that. And I think that just goes to just a wonderful staff member, Mary, that they would help on a project that they know that is kind of indirectly related to them, but get other and more than willing to ask his financial advisors, bond underwriters, so on and so forth, any questions that we might have. So, Dave, I appreciate that. That just goes to your wonderful acumen as not only as a financial person with the city, but just as a great human being. We just so appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Coop. Mr. Salazar.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to say thank you for your commitment to the city to serve. I know that this person, as young as he could have gone a lot of different places and not having to do what's called public service. Because even though you did get paid, it is a public service because at some point of the day, you realize that, you know, most people have already gotten off work. And here you are having to deal with issues that are not just important to either a council member or the manager, but important to the citizens of the city of Dallas. Just like, you know, the events that we had this past week, we've had also financial events, and in every position I've seen you in, you've been able to handle them professionally, competently, and always really, you're like one of the nicest guys. So even when you're doing a budget town hall meeting and telling people that, well, we don't have the money this year, but, you know, we're going to continue to work and do the things, and you gave people confidence that, even though they didn't hear good news, that they were confident in the people that were delivering the message, telling them that we had their interest in mind and that we're going to do the best we could to help them. So I want to thank you for all you did for hanging in there 28 years. And I certainly wish the best for your family, and I'm happy for your kids. And actually, I'm happy for your church because I guess you can do a lot of volunteer church work now. And so, congratulations.
Thank you. All right, thank you, Mr. Salazar. Dave, good luck. Council members, let's take a picture.
Terrific. Let's get one picture, first of all, with all of the council, and then I'm going to ask the senior staff to come up, too, and we'll get one kind of with everybody.
I could now, I'd like to call out Dennis Miller, who's the chairman of the board of the DFW Minority Supplier Development Council, and Margo Posey, who's president of the DFW Minority Supplier Development Council. How are you two doing? Good.
Thank you for taking the time today. I'm Dennis Miller. I'm Senior Vice President Controller at JCPenney. I'm also the chairperson for the Dallas-Fort Worth Minority Development Council. And every year at the council, we present some awards. But first, I'd like to introduce you to Margo Posey. You probably know her much better than me. Also, I'd like some of our board members to stand up. Cliff Miller, Donna Weaver Earhart from Verizon, and Terry Quinton, come on up. Every year we present award to the buying and the public entity that to really support the development of minority vendors in the community and actually enhances their capacity. So this year we have awarded the entity of the award for public sector to the City of Dallas, and we'd like to present that award today to the City of Dallas. Really relish your partnership. You've been a great partner throughout all the years and done a great job in developing the minority vendor community in Dallas area. Thank you very much. Mayor, Mary Sims, come up. Ade Williams, see here.
Ade.
Dennis, Martin, we appreciate that. There is a very long and strong partnership between the Minority Business Council and the City of Dallas. We work together on a number of different efforts. Some of those efforts are in the past. Some of those are new initiatives that we're working on now. And we just want to thank you and your board for everything that you do. We appreciate that. Thank you very much. Mr. Cadane, can I turn it to you?
Thank you, Mayor. Well, this has been a very exciting day, all except losing Dave. That wasn't really exciting. But I've got a young man I want to introduce to my community and the City of Dallas. He's a very special person. Isaac Lunger, would you come up, please? And Derek, you come up with him, too, please. Derek Smith is Executive Director of the White Rock YMCA. Alex works with Isaac works with Dave. I like that name, Isaac. I've got a son, Isaac, so it's easy to use. I like that. I'll tell you what. I don't know all of what Isaac does at the Y, but I know he's very important. I know he's a big help to Derek. But this young man goes way beyond the call of duty and his duties. And I know one thing just from reading about him, he loves people. And I'll tell you, young man, you are an instrument of the Lord. And we appreciate you, and it's very exciting what I'm fixing to give this young man. He actually saved a man's life at the Y. Had a heart attack while on one of the machines. And so I'm standing next to and fixing to recognize a true hero in my book. So without further ado, let me read this recognition for you, Isaac. Whereas Isaac Lunger is a resident of Rowlett, and whereas in 2004, Isaac graduated from Rowlett High School, and whereas Isaac completed his bachelor's degree in economics from the University of Texas at Dallas in December 2009. Whereas Isaac is a member of the Lake Point Church in Rockwall, and whereas Isaac has been a key employee of the YMCA at White Rock since 2003, whereas Isaac continuously displays leadership and composure amongst his peers, and whereas the YMCA staff is thoroughly trained in CPR and first aid. And whereas on December 3rd, shortly after 7 p.m., Isaac used this training to save the life of a member who had sustained a heart attack while exercising. Whereas the YMCA administration is very proud to have Isaac on their team. Now, therefore, I, Sheffy Cadane, on behalf of Tom Leppard and the full council, to hereby extend special recognition to Isaac Lunger for the outstanding contributions to the members of the White Rock YMCA, your dedication and constant effects of support are indicative of your outstanding reservance and heroism. And I just want to congratulate you, young man, on what you've done. And if you'd like to say a few words, I'd like for you to. Maybe Derek would.
Yeah.
But I want to give you this and give you a big hand. And you are my hero. Derek, you want to say a few words?
Well, so often in the Y we talk about impacting people's lives in a positive way, but very rarely do we get the opportunity to actually save a life. I got a phone call early in December. We had a member that had actually gone down just after stepping off of a treadmill, and Isaac, his training truly took over. Within just a few seconds, literally, Isaac had reached the member, had begun the CPR process, used our automatic defibrillator to literally bring the member back to life. The member did not have a heartbeat at the time. After use of the defibrillator, the member came back. We were able to get the member in an ambulance, and just 4 short days later, the member was standing in my office thanking the YMCA and specifically Isaac for the work that he'd done. So we're just so thankful for Isaac and his leadership. He really has had an impact on one of our members and on our community. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's get a
Mr. Caraway?
Thank you, Mayor. Let me ask my colleagues, Ms. Councilwoman Buncel Jones-Hill, Ms. Davis will be back in the room in just a minute. We'll get Councilman Atkins out of the hall. This is Black History Month, February. And it is the most appropriate thing for us to do is, as we do yearly, is to celebrate. Now, we've had a fantastic time today, and what better way to conclude Dave leaving, and Dave, our prayers and hearts are with you, honoring our minorities, recognizing all of the great things, coming off of a NBA All-Star weekend for an All-Star city, to commemorate this with honoring Black history. Before we get started, I'm going to ask Councilwoman Hill, if she would, to just come and speak a word, because in the world of Black history has always been gospel, and out of your capacity of councilwoman, but as the minister and pastor, we're going to ask you to open up our Black history program and presentation.
People of African descent throughout the diaspora recognize that we've come this far by faith. The Hebrew scriptures relate the experience of the Exodus, where God parted the Red Sea and the Israelites walked through on dry ground. People of African descent in America recognized that God continues for us to part the Red Sea and walk through on, so that we can walk through on dry ground. And therefore, as Councilman Caraway has so rightfully noted, Will you join me now in a word of prayer? God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, God who has brought us this far on the way, we pause now before your awesome and magnificent presence to say as a people torn from our native land, brought to these shores in the holds of ships, packed in like sardines where we had no dignity and no respect. We thank you, God, that you have seen fit to bring us to this place. We thank you, God, for lies like Mr. Spann's and the Tuskegee Airmen that showed the excellence that you built within us. Thank you, God, for bringing us a mighty, mighty long way. And God, we ask that you continue to be the light in front of us, the wind at our backs, the friend at our side, and to lead us to where you would have us to be. This is our prayer. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Councilwoman Hill, Pastor. Let me ask our choir, if you would, come over and assemble while we continue to move our program. Ms. Hill spoke of the Tuskegee Airmen, and I want to say that when the Harlem Globetrotters were in town in our fair city, we were graced with the presence of members of the Tuskegee Airmen. We are so very pleased today to have in the midst of us here at City Hall celebrating this week and this month one of the Tuskegee Airmen, and we would ask that you put your hands together and we'd welcome Dr. Calvin J. Spann of the 332nd Fighter Group, 100th Fighter Squadron, Class 44G. Dr. Spann. Dr. Spann, what we're going to do for just a moment, because this is truly a celebration, and it's an honor to be here in your midst, to know the things that you've gone through, to know the things that you've seen in your life, and to be here to share them with us today. Before we do that, I'm going to ask Councilwoman Hill once again if she would come and we'll read a little bit about the accomplishments of the legend, Dr. Spann.
Thank you, Mr. Caroline. Dr. Spann, come closer. In 1943, Calvin J. Spann left Rutherford High School to go into the Army Air Corps to start aviation cadet training. His high school graduation was the next month, but he wasn't there. His sister had to accept his diploma for him. His order sent him to Keesler Field in Mississippi, but when he got there, he was told that in Mississippi, they didn't train black cadets. A week later, he was sent to Tuskegee, Alabama, for his cadet training. Calvin Spann received his wings at Tuskegee, graduating in class 44G. He was then stationed at South Carolina. He was under the command of the great Colonel Benjamin O. Davis, Jr. He flew 26 combat missions before the end of the war in Europe and terminated his tour of duty in Italy. After returning to the United States, he was stationed in Columbus, Ohio. And then, finally, on February 28th of 2006, the United States Congress approved a bill sponsored by Representative Charles Rangel of New York honoring the great Tuskegee Airmen. Your service was magnificent. My country, your country, did not treat you well, but that God we prayed to saw to it that you had your wings and you had your recognition, and we're proud to stand with you.
Good morning, everyone. I feel a little remiss at accepting this honor without mentioning the comrades who assisted me overseas. Many of them who are not here today, but through God's blessing, I'm able to stand here today and accept it for myself and for them. I thank you for this honor. And it's been a privilege of me being here, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. But with God willing, I'll be able to pass the message on to our youngsters that with the God's help, they will be able to accomplish things too in the world. Thank you.
Hey, Dr. Spann. Dr. Spann, Councilman Atkins is going to make a presentation to you, and also Councilwoman Davis.
Also, Dr. Spann, and one thing that a whole lot of people do not realize what the Tuskegee Airmen have done. I remember back in 1995, they celebrated the 50th year anniversary of Redbird Airport. The whole squad was there, and that was a celebration of aviation. So this is not the first time they have been to City Hall, but on behalf of the mayor and the whole entire city council, we award you this as token.
A star for a star.
You know, I am so honored to be standing by you. In high school, I had to write a paper, and one of the papers I wrote was about the Airmen from Tuskegee. And so I am so excited about this. I made a B on that paper. So I did not make an A. I made a B, and I also went and bought the movie also. And so it's a good movie, and I am so excited that you're here. And Mr. Carraway, thank you for bringing him here for the month of Black History. Thank you so much.
And it would not be appropriate, Mary Leopard. Do you want to come up and say a few words?
You bet. I've had a chance to visit with some of your colleagues, and I can tell you the stories what you accomplished in the face of adversities that very, very few people would understand or experience is absolutely amazing. And the contributions that you made, again, in difficult situations to our country are things that should be remembered by every American today. And we're just thankful. We're appreciative that you're here today. But more than that, we just want to thank you for everything you've done for our nation. Thanks, sir.
All right. Now, let me, here you go. We're going to take some pictures in just a second over here as the choir warms up. We're getting ready to get with it. So choir, y'all get ready. You all know these are all city employees, and they practice on their own personal time, and they're getting ready to turn it out in just a minute. And we're going to conclude our program, but we're going to make it a gospel way and the right way. John Wilson and the Dwayne Carraway City Employees Choir.
Wait a minute.
Huh? Antonio. And Bonzeal and Carolyn. And the camp. And Mary Soon.
And the city.
Coding for them. Okay.
What department are they come
from? All departments. Thank you.
Mayor. And
Dwayne Carraway, I want to thank you for working with the choir at City Hall. This is a wonderful choir, Mary, and the talent that it is. And for Dr. Spann with Tuskegee Airmen, I want to thank you for all your service throughout the years in this century that you bring to this city. Dwayne, just thank you for everything you've done. This choir was off the change, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And they would perform. Did they perform a while back down in the lobby?
We just go all over.
You go everywhere. Everywhere, okay. Mary, you might need to take this choir. They need to be a part of the budget. Okay, so we might need to do a CD.
Given how much we paid them, they are probably.
Thank you, Dr. Mann. Miss Mann, we appreciate you.
Hold on. Mr. Carraway. Mr. Carraway. Mr. Carraway.
Dr. Spann, I'm very proud of the Tuskegee Airmen, but Ms. Carraway, I too want to thank you for bringing this experience to City Hall. It is not every day that we have the opportunity for the millions of people who view this experience to understand how African-American people have made it over. And we've done that through worship. The world saw this morning some of how we worship. We have, as you know, Ms. Carraway, our people have experienced such oppression, but we can keep going because we know how to get to church, and we can make church anywhere. We can get to church and we can worship and praise our God and get up the next day, no matter what folks have called us, how they've crushed us. We get up the next day because we serve a mighty God, and we are not afraid to express our worship through song, through our gestures. Mr. Carraway, thank you, and the church said,
amen.
Amen.
Appreciate those comments. Thank you very much. Mr. Carraway, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Madam Secretary?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, we have two speakers. Mr. Crenshaw has counseled this morning. Our first speaker is going to be Robert Mack, followed by Brad Kirby. While Mr. Mack is coming forward, let me recite the rules for speaking. Citizens and other visitors attending city council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council or while attending the city council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. Each speaker this morning will be allowed 2 minutes to speak. When you see the amber numbers blinking, that means you have 30 seconds, and then the red number means stop. Mr. Mack, if he's in the audience, Mr. Mack? Mr. Kirby? Are you Mr. Mack or Mr. Mack, okay.
We don't get 3 minutes, ma'am?
No, this morning we'll do it 2 minutes, okay?
Okay, giving honor to God, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the Honorable City Council, the Mayor of Dallas. My name is Robert J. Mack, M-A-C-K. I was a Dallas police officer. I worked vice control narcotics. I bought drugs in for the city of Dallas, infiltrating the drug community. Came up from undercover, had some problems. I had a problem with my captain, E.J. Coulon. I had requested a leave of absence from the department because of this. Captain Coulon elected to terminate me for job abandonment, which was not true. What I did was I requested a copy of my personnel file, because when you're terminated for job abandonment, there is no appeal. I ordered a copy of my personnel jacket to present to the council, and I haven't gotten it as of yet. It's in Jack Bauer's office. I brought a copy of my the events and the facts of what had happened. And since there is no appeal for job abandonment, the only recourse that I have is to come before this city council and have them to have an investigation done on this, preferably by Danny Doppenberg, who is the next FBI agent here and for the Dallas office of the FBI. He does good work. He does real good work. I enjoyed my time with the city. I have nothing negative to say about the city of Dallas and or the Dallas Police Department. This is one isolated incident with myself and one captain, E.J. Coulon, and the police department is doing a great job. The narcotics section is doing a great job. These guys have a dangerous job, and their lives are in danger every day, so I will not reveal any confidential information that will endanger their lives. I appreciate this time. I say God bless each and every one of you, and I congratulate each and every one of you. Have a nice day. Are there any questions?
Thank you very much.
Our next speaker is going to be Brad Kirby. Mr. Kirby.
Hi, my name is Brad Kirby at 2110 Irving Boulevard, right just north of downtown Dallas.
came to y'all a couple weeks ago with the proposed bill, ordinance, to help stop dog theft in Dallas. The ordinance was shut down. They told me, Ms. Hill told me, that she could go to anybody's backyard, take their dog, as long as they don't see them, her take their dog, she can take the dog home, and it's her dog. They don't have any recourse legally to get their dog back. They could sue her, but that only means that she is being sued. Does that mean she has to pay the money? That means she has to give back the dog, and she can sell the dog or give it away without shot record or registration, and nothing could be done to her. Of course, she didn't tell me that she stole the dog or took the dog from the backyard. She told me the dog followed her home. That's what all the thieves tell the police department, and that's good enough for them. The dog just followed me home. It doesn't matter if they have a collar. Doesn't matter if they had tags on the dog. Doesn't matter if the dog was tied up in a ordinary fashion or secured in the backyard. If a dog's stolen, you don't see the dog being stolen out of your yard, tough luck. It's not going to be your dog anymore. And the people who stole your dog are not going to get in trouble for it. Also, it's a short time. Also, my second part of my speech is the detective that was on my case, which I believe was a lame detective, he lied on this police report about what I had told him. I had told him my dogs never run away. They are chained up. He turned around and said my dogs were loose and always ran away. And that's what I told him. I did not tell him that. That was a direct lie. Also, he took 7 days to go rescue my dog when he knew where the address was. I found out from Chief Cato that the police will not send a patrol officer to rescue a dog that's being tortured and possibly going to be put to death, a stolen dog. Will not send a police officer to rescue a dog that's going to be tortured. I feel that's unfair. And the detective took 7 days. He took a long weekend instead of rescuing my dog that was probably killed. And I beg y'all to go back and try to come up with some kind of city ordinance that would protect the dogs. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you being with us. Thank you very much, sir.
Ms. Meredith, all the morning speakers.
I appreciate it. I will make 3 comments on the last speaker. Number one, clearly if there is a complaint against a police officer, we would encourage this citizen or any other citizen to file a complaint so that it can be researched, analyzed, and dealt with, investigated in the right manner. Two is, anytime an animal is stolen, that's a theft. It's clearly a theft of property. Our police department will work with that. And in regard to the third one, in terms of the police not pursuing that, I will be checking on that because I don't think that's accurate, but I'll be checking on that.
Mr. Mayor.
So with that said,
Mr. Mayor, but for the fact that this is a public record, I would not respond, but I do need on the record that the gentleman grossly misrepresented what I said to him.
Fair enough. Madam Secretary, our first item of business is approval of minutes of February 3rd. Those have been distributed in advance. Mr. Newman made a motion. Mr. Cadet seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. I believe we have some boards of commission
for appointments. We have three nominees for appointment. The Animal Shelter Commission is Gloria Bloom being nominated by Councilmember Natinsky. Board of Adjustment Ross Coulter is being nominated by Councilmember Morgolin. And Civil Service Board Adjunct Member Michael Leach is being nominated by Councilmember Natinsky.
Mr. Newman has moved it. Mr. Natinsky seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Our third item, Secretary?
Our third item is a resolution designating absences by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Pauline Medrano as being for official city business.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Our first item on the briefing agenda will be the Woodall Rogers deck park. I hope all of us, and including on the council, but everybody listening, has had a chance to get down and see actual equipment down there and dirt being moved and see that indeed an idea that several years ago was probably something that a lot of people thought was nothing but fantasy is actually becoming reality. This morning we'll have an update on that project. I'd first of all like to introduce and thank the members of the Woodall Rogers Deck Park, now known as the Park Board, for being here. And if you could all stand, we'd just like to recognize all the hard work that all of you have put in to bring this to you. Jody Grant has been extremely, and that is an understatement if you can imagine that, but extremely influential in bringing this to the point that we're at today and the excitement that's involved in it. This is a very important project for a number of reasons. Clearly, it will be a part that all of us in this city and in the region will get enormous benefit out. It is also strategically important because it will tie our uptown to our downtown, the Arts District with Victory, all of the different elements, bringing those together. Clearly is going to be an economic boon for our city. We will see and already have seen increasing property values, which impact the tax values in our area. And then finally, I think it's a great example of getting things done in a difficult economic environment. As we'll go through, and I know Jody will touch on, it is a terrific partnership between the city, between other governmental entities, and between the private sector. That private sector would not have gotten involved if it wasn't for people that had a vision, that had an idea. Jody, I'll let you introduce the other people, but we just want you to know how appreciative we are to you personally and to everybody else, because this is going to be a marvelous project for our city when we get it finished. We're all excited to hear more about it. I know that there's been very recently some significant gifts that have been made, and I think all of us are just as excited as you, if that is possible.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, distinguished council members. We're delighted to be here today to give you a briefing on the park. I think many of you are fairly up to date because many of you were at the Chase announcement of their $3 million gift, and we appreciate that very much. And we appreciate the support of the mayor and all the city council members, as well as the staff, who've been marvelous. We're going to give you a briefing today. We're going to go through it as quickly as we can in the interest of time, but hopefully you'll have a few questions. The presenters, including myself, are Paul Dyer, whom all of you know, Jim Burnett, who is our principal architect, and Lynn Owen. So with that, let us get started, and Paul Dyer is up first.
Terrific. And we'll go. I've got one more briefing I've got to catch before noon, so we'll go through the briefing, and then I may hold questions until afterwards. But go ahead, Paul.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. This is a flagship park for our park system. We're very excited about it, and it's been a long time coming. But today we want to provide you an update on the construction, a little bit of the history, a recap of the development agreement that this council approved some time ago, some of the current debt park construction items that are going forward, look at those. Also, the amenities package that will be coming online starting in August. Also, then, Jody mentioned, we're going to have Jim Burnett come up and Linda Owen talk about the park itself, the design features of the park, the design, fundraising. The park, as it's known, is a 5.2-acre park right in the heart of downtown Dallas. It will be the binding attachment or the essential link between uptown, the Arts District, and downtown. It is something that covers a vast chasm or canyon that we've looked at for a long time, and I'm very happy to see that it's going away. It's bounded in its length by Pearl and St. Paul, and it will be a wonderful amenity to that part of our city. A little bit about the history. The creation of Eck Park was identified in the Downtown Parks Master Plan thanks to some funding partners from downtown businesses, and was approved by the council in 2004. Linda Owen and Jim Burnett Willis, and we went to Chicago back around this time, and we visited Millennium Park, and thought, what a wonderful way to cover up a railroad. So if they can cover up a railroad with Millennium Park, we can cover up this ugly freeway. So thanks to that trip, and about that time, the Real Estate Council had been working for a number of years on what they call flashlight projects in the community, $100,000 here and there each year. They wanted to do a legacy project, and we said, you really want to do this? And we said, it's $80 million, and they said, let's go. So with that enthusiasm and that private public partnership, as the mayor mentioned, we were off and running. The 2000 bond program included $20 million for Woodall Rogers and had pledges of $20 million from the private sector and $20 million at that time from other governmental agencies that the foundation was working on, the Real Estate Council was working on. The Real Estate Council funded a feasibility study and the schematic design. They spent about $8 million to date on the design and some of the upfront costs. The foundation was founded as a nonprofit corporation and was to develop, operate, and maintain the park. That's an important feature. They are developing, funding a lion's share of the project, and also they're going to maintain the park in perpetuity. the City of Dallas and the Foundation negotiated a development use agreement that was approved by the Council in 2007, and our city contribution, as you know, was capped at $20 million. The Foundation is responsible for all the other project costs through private fundraising and grants from other non-city governmental sources. The Foundation is responsible for preparation and planning of all the design documents, and some of the street adjustments that were required by this project include the reconfiguration of St. Paul. If you recall, St. Paul ramp coming off Woodall Rogers would only let you do the Texas U-turn to go back on the eastbound freeway side. Now you can turn left on St. Paul and proceed into downtown, which is a nice change for that piece of street work. Also, the closure of Hardwood was created to give us a continuous footprint on the park to create the length and the critical mass needed in the park. And the O&M cost is expected to be about $2.2 million for the park that will be funded, by the foundation. The city retains the ownership of the park. The foundation is responsible for the operation. This operation agreement gave them a 50-year term with four 10-year renewal options, so that basically there's a 90-year contract to operate this. It's not perpetuity, but for my book, it's a long time. Revenue generated by the park will be utilized by the foundation to fund the operation, the maintenance, and the improvement of the park. That's the right we've given them as our funding partner. They also have the right to sell and convey any naming rights to the park and utilize those proceeds to design, construct, and to maintain the park in its perpetuity. The city is entitled for three use days. Again, the financial summary, we put in $20 million up front. There were two $10 million step grants that were secured by the foundation during this process. Along the way, they also secured $16.7 million. This grant put us over the top. We were moving along very well, but this really put us to the next level, and that was an exciting time for us. So far, there's been $26.3 million in grants, cash, pledges, and if they were to stop raising money right now, there's enough money to build this park in a glorious fashion with only a couple of the elements left out, but they are committed to continue to raise money for the sculpture and some other significant pieces for another $27 million. The total project cost could be as much as $110 million. Currently under construction is the deck and tunnel face, for those of you who have been by that way, unless you want to avoid it, but the construction cost of the deck and tunnel is $52 million. It started construction October 2009. It will complete construction January 2012. Something that changed during the course of the construction, initially we're going to build the deck and then finish that project and come back and start building the park. But we've changed the sequencing somewhat, so now we're going to award a contract this coming August that will start the park development. So as the deck finishes its completion phases, then we'll start building the park on top of the deck so that they'll basically finish at the same time. You see some pictures here of the work that's in progress. The picture on your right is showing, on the left side of the picture on your right, is showing the existing wall on Woodall Rogers, which is the retaining wall where the man is standing. That's the new retaining wall. Also, that's the pier caps and the abutment that will hold up the new bridge structure. So basically, the freeway will be 10 feet wider on each side, allowing for future traffic, but also allowing for a larger three-span for the park. And then to the right of that is the parkway and the parking elements that will be incorporated into the park. The construction contract that's coming up for the park element will be managed by the park system. The anticipated funding is $5 million from the City of Dallas and about $16 million for the balance of that award of the project this coming August. The City Council's contract award in August will allow the construction to start early in 2010, and then we'll complete that construction along with the deck around sometime in 2012. I'm very pleased to announce that, or to introduce again Mr. Jim Burnett. Jim has done parks all over the world, not the least of which were the park at Lakeshore East in Chicago, a 5.2-acre park with about a 23-acre development, a beautiful facilities also, the ConocoPhillips World Headquarters, the Myriad Botanical Gardens in Oklahoma City, to name a few. So we're very pleased and fortunate to have someone of Jim's caliber. And with that, I'd like to introduce to you Jim Burnett. Jim?
Thank you, Paul. I'd like to say thanks for allowing us to present the park today to
the great folks of Dallas who've been so supportive the last 6 years. We couldn't have done what we've been able to do without the council, the mayor, and Paul and Willis and his team at the Parks Department and all the folks at the city. So as Paul just mentioned, the park is 5.2 acres. It knits together the Uptown and the Arts District. Next. When we first got together with community groups in February 2006, we asked everyone their impression of what they thought a great park would be. And they made a list of all these ideas, and we looked at case studies from other parks, and we showed them that first, and then we had an all-day charrette at the Nasher Sculpture Center. And people came up with these goals and program elements for the park. And the number one goal was make a park for all people. Let's not make a park that's just kind of a one-liner. Let's make a park for people who love dogs. Let's make a park for people who have botanical interest and love horticulture. Let's make a park for children and families with children. And then all the thousands of office workers in the district and downtown and all the residents in Uptown who could come and enjoy this park. Next. Another goal is to make it active. We purposely put a programming team together from the beginning, and we kept that running continuously. And we actually just left the meeting talking about programming activities, and the best thing we can do for this park is to give it life after we give the keys to the city of Dallas, so, and the foundation. So make it active, keep it going, keep it programmed, have special events there day in, day out, and make it the heart of downtown. Next. And the last thing is of the big goals was really to make it fascinating. We can cover all the groundwork. We can make it safe and secure, and we can get the trash out, and we can mow the grass and all that. But let's make it something that people have to see when they come to Dallas, that it's a wow experience, that when you come to Dallas, you've got to see the Woodall Rogers Park. And so that was another key element, and we've done that by building a team of world-class consultants who've helped us shape the water features, shape the restaurant, the cafe, pavilion, a lot of the details, the environmental details. So the team was kind of instrumental in everyone coming together and making it fascinating. Next. So this is some shots from the public process at the Nasher. Again, people kind of put down what they really thought was most important about making a great park, and then we tallied those program elements up. Next. And we put them on a list, and they were most desirable, desirable, and least desirable. And everything you see kind of in dark green, the top two categories have all been accomplished with program elements in this park. So we feel like we've kept that idea going, that it be well programmed. Next. The site plan, I'll just quickly tell you that it has all of the things we just mentioned. It has a botanical experience, it has a children's garden, a restaurant, the Muse Family Performance Pavilion, which can host events up to 2,500 people on the Great Lawn. There's a Boone Family Dog Park, which is about 4,000 square feet. It's going to be fantastic, and will offer downtown residents and people who bring their dogs downtown the ability to, have their dogs play off leash within this fenced area. And we have groves, which kind of soften the impact of the park being next to a three-lane road on the north and the south. And then we have an icon water feature, interactive water feature on the east side that kind of marks the entry into the park and marks the Woodall Rogers Park. Next. There, I'm going to show you a couple of quick images of what the park will look like. The botanical gardens are going to be spectacular. They're focusing on plants that are native and non-native adapted species, so they'll be plants that will not require a lot of fertilization and water. So we think carrying that sustainable message, that's good. You can go to the next one. That's good. The children's garden has a variety of features. has a storytelling deck and tree where you can climb up to the top and look out over the park. There are places for small children and larger children, so that the groups are segregated. There's an interactive water feature, climbing structures, a pavilion for parties and events. Next. So the children's garden will be very special. Next. And this shows the treehouse and the model of the berms on the right side and the family restrooms. There'll be restrooms in the children's area. That's good. Keep going. This is good. Reading and games area. There'll be places for people to a lending library where you can pick up a book and read it while you're in the park. And there'll be places where there'll be game boards out where you can play chess, checkers, backgammon, things like that. Next. The Great Lawn, as I mentioned, will host big events for 2,500 to 3,000, and it also will be kind of a great place to stretch out and sit on a blanket, kind of get a small slice of nature into downtown and provide a place where people can relax and enjoy the park inside the city. Next. The Arts Terrace. This is the old alignment of Harwood, and we have the Arts Terrace on the south side and the Uptown Terrace on the north side. And it will be marked with a very beautiful water feature that can be turned on, turned off, in a moment's notice if someone needs to move through the park. And this is the connector piece. We think this is a really important part of the kind of urban streetscape. Next. The Olive Plaza is a high-energy area next adjacent to the Performance Pavilion, and Olive Plaza will be an interactive fountain, and there will also be places where movable chairs and tables underneath the pavilion where people can sit and watch the action at Olive Plaza. So you can grab a sandwich at the pavilion, the cafe, and then come over here, eat your lunch under the Performance Pavilion, and watch the beautiful water feature at Olive Plaza. Next. The groves, again, they are kind of multi-use spaces that can be set up for different events. They're shady. They provide that kind of 100% shade year-round that we like to have in Dallas. So it provides a kind of a microclimate. Next. And finally, the Pearl Street Water Feature is the iconic water feature. It's an interactive water feature which marks the park, and it is something that you can walk through. It's something that rains on the edges. It also has water showering down inside. It's fantastic at night. It has amazing lighting effects, and it's glass, so it becomes something that sparkles in the day and becomes a really spectacular water event in the evening. So. Again, thank you very much for your time, and we're very excited to be a part of this project in your wonderful city. So, Jody.
Thank you, Jim. I'm going to just review very quickly the fundraising efforts here to date, and Paul Brown really covered the basics of that. In addition to the public monies that has been raised, we've raised $26.3 million from the private sector. And we have about $27 million that we would like to raise in order to have the fine park with wonderful amenities that I think Dallas not only expects but would enjoy very much. The campaign, by the very nature of what we're trying to do, has to be focused, and the timeline we have, on very large gifts. So we're not selling bricks. We're not doing 10K runs. We just don't have the time to do that. So we're focused on really gifts of a half million, a million, and more. We'd like ultimately to find a naming entity for the park. That might be a family or it could be a corporation. The price tag on naming the park is $15 million. If any of you would like to have your name emblazoned in glory and in posterity, all you need to do is write us a check for that amount of money, and we would gladly accept it. And I have a bank that we can deposit it in. We're working very hard. We appreciate the support that Tom Leppert, our mayor, has given us. He's been behind us all the way.
And honestly, if you have any ideas about who you think might like to have their name on this park, we would welcome your suggestions. That about covers it as far as the fundraising goes. We're optimistic. We have deadlines. We will deposit $10 million with the city July 1, which will enable you to release $5 million for the construction of the amenities on the park, and we're prepared to do that. We could do it today if we had to. It would be with borrowed money because of the time flow of these pledges, but we'd rather not borrow any money, so we're working very hard right now to raise as much money as we can between now and July the 1st. So with that, let me turn it over to Linda Owen, and we will be finished and can take any questions you might have.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you very much again for letting us be here with you. Angela, thank you. Mary Zoom, I have to say, shout out to Mary because we've been at this for a very, very long time and we appreciate so much the city's widespread support. But we have not forgotten the important next step, which is programming, operating, managing the park. So this is what's on the horizon. And we owe it to you and our taxpayers to make sure that once the park is up and operating, it's operated in a first-class fashion and it's lively and vital and self-sustaining in every possible way. So one of the brilliant things that Jim Burnett did when he was first commissioned to landscape this park is bring Dan Biederman and Phil Inquist to the table, and he said, let's get Phil, who's a great urban designer out of Chicago with SLM, who's worked on the Millennium Park, and let's get Dan Biederman, who is sort of operating this cool urban park in New York City called Bryant Park, and let's make sure that we have all these programming opportunities designed into the park and into the engineering and into the deck, because we don't get any do-overs. We're building over an 8-lane, double-divided highway, and so we need to get it right now. So all of these opportunities have been built in. Our first study during the schematic design phase, thank you, Mayor, for mentioning the Real Estate Council, appreciate that. They underwrote this study with which Dan Biederman presented. And now we are in sequestered in the Parks Department's boardroom meeting with Tim Marshall. He's the former director of the Central Park Conservancy. He also consults with Discovery Green in Houston. He consults with Highline in New York, and he's very busy consulting with London on their Olympics. So he's also consulting with Dallas on our cool urban park, and we are meeting today to talk about the ongoing program operating and management opportunities for the park and make it self-sustaining. We anticipate our timeline is that in early 2011 we'll begin to identify the permanent park management team, which will include the park director and a development person, a programming person, security and maintenance and facilities people. And then we have an agreement. I don't know if he's here right now, but Sean Fulham, who is a fabulous retail broker who is very engaged in retail operations all over the country, is going to help us identify a restaurant operator who will handle special events and catering and food and beverages services within the park. And we're going to all be there beginning this time in 2012 to start those park operations and get comfortable with the idea of a grand opening probably in the spring. We don't want to do it in the summer. We'd rather make it for spring, maybe March, April, May of 2012. We'll all be there for a grand opening of the park. And we have an animated image of what that experience will be like for all of us.
Walking to the botanical gardens. And the children's park in the background. We're still in the children's park. That's the little kiosk there that contains restrooms. This is either the promenade or the groves. I can't really tell. Street, or rather Harwood Street Plaza, I think, or Arts Plaza, one or the other. And you see the restaurant behind the trees. The Great Lawn with people walking around. It always amazes me how they're able to do these things and insert real life people into images. The Performance Pavilion, we're now under and looking at Olive Street and the water feature at Olive Street Plaza. This is the restaurant. Looking from Olive Street to the west through the Performance Pavilion. And one of the groves of trees. I think this is probably the Chase Promenade, which we just sold for $3 million. And the dog park, and I think you'll see dogs in just a minute. There are the dogs. And a final flyover, and something you'll see in a minute that will be reminiscent of last Thursday, which we'd probably like, you all would probably like to forget. This is the fountain that Jim talked about, which might not be a fountain, it might end up being something else. And there's last Thursday. With that, that concludes the presentation, and Mr. Mayor, we'd be glad to entertain any questions anyone might have.
Jody, again, thank you to you and all the board for what you've done. Jim, terrific effort. Linda, and I know you've put in a lot of heart and soul into this, starting with the Real Estate Council, back when it was an idea that a lot of people didn't embrace. And Paul, to all of your work, a big thank you. As I said, this is going to be a great park, but I don't want to lose sight of how important it's going to be strategically for the city and trying to pull some areas together that unfortunately have had a lot of attention but have been bifurcated. So this is going to pull those areas together, and that's going to allow us to do some things in city planning and getting the density that we need that otherwise we simply wouldn't be able to do. And I think it's also a great example of the partnership. So a big thank you to each and every one of you. It's a terrific effort, and it's great to see it come to the point now where those renderings, we can go down and see the equipment, we see the dirt flying, and know that we're on the verge of getting to that point. So it's terrific. Ms. Hunt, would you like to add?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm so excited when I have to wait in traffic on Woodall Rogers. I know some people don't get excited about that, but I love that because that means our park is coming to fruition. I remember 5 years ago when we went to see Bryant Park and Millennium Park and tried to imagine that over this chasm we have between uptown and downtown. And it was a stretch of the imagination, but I think we all made that leap. And seeing it come to fruition and seeing Harwood become a plaza for pedestrians and not just a through street, I think that's very exciting. The fact that in 2006 we were able to get bond funds for this to make this a reality. And then you have worked so hard to get the private funds. We've gotten wonderful federal funds from this, funds from the state. It's been such a great partnership. But thank you for your leadership on this. I think it's going to be a lasting legacy for our city. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Carroll, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. And Linda and all of you, thank you so very much for your hard work, vision, and bringing this thing to a reality. As we were seeing once, we saw water coming over the side of Woodall Rogers, and it was flooding and all of that. But when you walk through, when you take us through the park, it tells us, as the mayor says, the expectations and what to expect. I was just asking, will we have it ready by the Super Bowl so we could really get that together? But we're going to take our time to do it right. Yeah, we'll be the second Super Bowl. And then I tell them, I say, well, we'll just get ready for the return of the All-Star game. So we'll have it ready. One thing I was going to ask, but then I began as we went through the promenade and the fountain, it was just lighting, and I saw some beautiful lighting. So certainly it's going to be a park that's going to be secured with a lot of excitement. I just wish you all well, and thank you for everything that you all are doing. And we're going to try to help you identify some of those folks for the naming rights. I tried to put the mayor's hand up, but I couldn't get it up in the air. We were over here tussling about it.
Well, he's got some rich friends.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to do. So we're certainly going to try to help you in every way that we possibly can. But thank each and every one of you, Paul, and the gang that's over here. So we thank you also very much for all that you're doing for downtown and for the city of Dallas.
Thank you very much. I would just comment that with regard to safety and lighting, since you brought that up, the WW Cruz Foundation gave us $5 million, which is dedicated to safety and security of property and people. So that will be high on our agenda.
Mr. Ainsworth?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is truly one of our dreams coming true. I was back on the park board when we started this.
Right.
And it's just exciting to see how it's built and coming about. You know, on your programming, you've got the dark green here that states that's what will happen, and I guess the lighter green is what we're hoping. One thing I wanted to ask you about, I didn't see one bicycle in any of your pictures, and that's going to, I think, be a destination for bicycles.
Well, we had runners or walkers who did this film. As a cyclist, I can assure you we're going to have bicycles in the park.
Well, I was wanting to make sure, and I can't see them in the park, but we need perimeter works where we can care for them. Because I'll tell you, they'll be there.
Yep.
They'll
water be fountains, bike racks, we'll have all that.
And also on your performance stage, hopefully that's going to will happen along with all of it, because I can see that really be a big item there in that park.
It's already, the performance pavilion's funded, and we're talking to potential users. Booker T. Washington, the talented kids there, are high on our list. Linda and I have a meeting coming up shortly to take a tour of Booker T. and to talk to the director, and they regard this as an outdoor classroom for them.
Well, this is one of our big items that I know this council has been totally behind, and it's so neat to see it happening. Thank you all for all your work.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. Mr. Allen, please.
Mr. Grant, as a fellow banker, I'm so proud of you.
We're usually collecting money.
Well, I tell you what, you're a leader. Leaders always have imagination, but true leaders have tenacity. And then they're smart enough.
This whole board has tenacity.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're smart enough to get the teamwork beside you. I'm so proud of you. Proud of what y'all are doing, the tenacity that it's taken to pull this off. You're changing people's lives. You know, when we're all gone, man, people will be in that park. I can't wait to see that Pearl Street water feature. That is going to be so cool. That is going to be so cool.
I just named that for a contribution.
Hey, I was biked a little lower down on total public. So anyway, Mayor, thank you.
Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. What a great example of public-private partnership. We talk all the time as a city about how important it is to involve and engage the business community, the private sector, and this is a shining example of how it can work. An idea born in the private sector, joined with the public sector, both the state and the city. So I say congratulations, Jody. Thank you, Linda. Thank you for your leadership and so forth. This is a great thing, something for all of Dallas to look forward to, and another beacon, another magnet to downtown, because I think that is very important for those of us in Oak Cliff, for those in North Dallas, for those in Uptown. Downtown is an important destination, and this draws another magnet to this. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave. We believe this will also help attract permanent residents downtown, because it gives them green space, it gives them a place to walk their dog, and a place to be entertained.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Good comment. Ms. Hill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Big thanks to the Real Estate Council. It is a project for all of the city of Dallas. But Ms. Hunt, congratulations on a shining new start in your district. I do have one concern, and that is TxDOT financing. Ms. Coop and I are very, very, very well aware that TxDOT is now financially challenged, to put it gently. What have they said about the money that they promised?
They're fully behind our project. Our money is earmarked and committed. We have no issues with regard to that at all.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Tiske. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, Jody, Linda, you know, the whole crew, this is, as Mr. Newman said, a great example of public-private partnership. And a lot of times the citizens don't understand that. They look at City Hall, they read the paper, they see things on TV. You know, one of the comments that you made, that people are going to want to come downtown, they're going to want to come from other cities to see this. I know when I first had some town hall meetings and we talked about, we're going to deck over Woodall Rogers Park, there was sort of a light laughter out in the audience. You're going to do what? And where's the money going to come from for that? You know, the fact that this has been on a fast track, that people can see construction, that 2 years from now they're going to see a completed park, they're going to be able to go down there. It is going to be a very iconic symbol of the city of Dallas and what we can do when we put our minds to it. I want to thank all of y'all for the hard work you put into it, and if I run into anybody with $15 million, I'll be sure to drag them your way.
Very good.
And I would say to Mr. Dutinsky's comment, too, you can do some very conservative calculations and look at the money the city's putting in and look at the additional value that will come, the additional land values. Look at what the tax will be on that, how that will increase the tax revenue. And it is a very good return that I think nearly everybody would love to have in their stock portfolio. It is a very good return for the city just from a financial standpoint, in addition to all the other things that we've talked about. Mr. Salazar?
Thank you, Mayor. I was just going to say, there's some really rich hotel owners and condominium owners that you just connected to our arts district that they won't have to drive anymore. They can walk and ride the bike. I just want to say thanks to the Real Estate Council and the contributors, because what this does is it adds a new cultural facility to the city. It's a park, but it's also a cultural facility, because you've added the outdoor space, which can be used by a great number of different groups at any given time of the year. And certainly I think the vision, and especially looking forwardly on the maintenance of the park, that's very, very important. You can go to any great city, and they have great parks, but sometimes not all the great cities make the planning to maintain those parks. And I think that's very key to it. And the maintenance is important, because it'll keep bringing people back and having a really good experience at the park that's well maintained, attended, and attended by people. So I want to thank you for the work you're doing. I look forward to it. I promise I will not be on the council in 2012, but I will come to the park. Thanks.
Good.
Yeah. Mr. Atkins, please.
Again, Mayor, thank you. And also thank the Real Estate Council and also Chase Bank for the $3 million. I was hoping for $5 million, but $3 million, that's a good. But also I got to thank the voters, and also got to thank the staff. You know, in 2006, they had a vision, you know, to say, hey, this is what we need to do on the bond package. And also, I go back back to 1960s, everything. There was one little small park right beside of Woodall Rogers, right by St. Peter's Academy School I went to. And that was the only park you could go to. And then people realized then, when we did the uptown and McKinney and everything, we did need a place for the park. And I'm glad that we had a vision to see that, and I hope we'd be on schedule and time to do it, to connect North Dallas and downtown together. Again, thank you for the vision. Also, Mary, thank you, Mary, for your vision in 2006.
Again, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to the ribbon cutting the first part of 2012. All the best.
We will celebrate in 2012.
It's a deal. All right.
Our
next briefing, then, well, let's move to the community development block grants.
You had requested that we take you through the community development process, and we're going to do that today and be glad to answer any of your questions. For this year, this process has already started and is pretty far down the road, but we wanted you to be sure you understood from the beginning how it works and Jean Chipperfield will do our presentation today.
Good morning. This briefing this morning will review various aspects and components of the Community Development Block Grant, the citizen participation requirements, and also look a little bit at the budget development process. The Community Development Block Grant is one of four entitlement grants that the city receives from HUD annually. It's part of the consolidated plan. It's the largest grant within the consolidated plan. In order to be an entitlement city, we have to have a population of 50,000, and our annual allocation is based on the latest census data. On an annual basis, we get approximately $20 million per year in new grants. Or the budget is about $20 million a year. Sources of funds to the budget include new grant funds, the reprogramming of existing grant funds, and also there is some program income or revenue generated by the program that is also included in the budget. The purpose of the grant per HUD is to develop viable urban communities, provide decent housing and suitable living environment, and expanding economic opportunities. All of the expenditures made from the CDBG funds must meet one of three national objectives that have been established by HUD to principally benefit low, moderate income persons, aid in the prevention or elimination of slum or blight, and meet a need that has a particular urgency. On the map, on the slide, and then also here shows which census tracts or block groups, a smaller portion of a census tract, which are eligible based on the 2000 census. There are many different eligible uses of the funds, including homeownership assistance, housing rehabilitation, real property acquisition, the improvements or acquisition of public facilities. Public services are generally social service type programs. We're limited to 15% of the grant by HUD regulation. All of the services that are provided under the public service category are subject to a competitive bid or proposal process. We may also provide relocation assistance, special economic development assistance, commercial or industrial improvements, and also 20% of the grant is allocated for planning and program oversight or administration of the grant. Who are the beneficiaries of the CDBG funds? Overwhelmingly, the services are available to any low to moderate income person, regardless of their address. Some of the programs we have in our budget that are available to all are the home repair programs, mortgage assistance, after-school programs. This means that any person may simply apply to the program, such as the home repair program. They make an application. If they meet the income eligibility, they are available. They are able to receive benefits from the program. There are fewer programs where we qualify the expenditures within a fixed area. Some services such as NIP code enforcement are generally allocated to a specific CDBG eligible area. Also, public improvements are qualified on an area basis. Nonprofits or for-profit businesses are eligible to provide services. We have the Neighborhood Investment Program that was established in 2003. The intent of the program at that time is to focus the housing and other city resources in targeted CDBG eligible areas or neighborhoods. In the NIP areas, the main uses of the CDBG funds would be public improvements, neighborhood beautification, enhanced code enforcement, and housing rehabilitation and reconstruction. There are five designated NIP areas, and there's a map on slide 11 showing where those areas are located. The second component of this briefing is citizen participation. Citizen participation is a HUD requirement. The HUD minimum requirements are that the city have a citizen participation plan, hold at least one public input meeting related to the budget, have one newspaper ad and hold a 30-day comment and review period related to the budget. The city's plan includes the Community Development Commission. 15 members are appointed by the city council and meet once a month to review issues related to the consolidated plan. There are 6 public input meetings held at the beginning of the budget development process. They were held back in January of this year. The CDC determines the locations of those meetings. The CDC also recommends which newspaper ads we will place and where we post information related to the consolidated plan. We post on the city's cable channel, website, and also in the libraries. The public input meetings are held in January each year, and this gives us an opportunity to discuss with the citizens, residents, those funds that will be received from HUD and then the process used to budget those funds. It gives citizens information on both the current and potential uses of the HUD grant funds, and it also gives the citizens an opportunity to provide their input or feedback on the uses of the funds. The citizens may provide verbal comments at the Community Development Commission meetings on a monthly basis. They may also appear before the City Council to provide comments during public hearings. We accept written comments on a comment form. The comment form identifies potential uses that are not currently included in the city's consolidated plan or annual budget for CDBG and other HUD grants, and it also allows them an opportunity to establish their priority for the uses of funds within the consolidated plan budget. Any comment form that's received by January 31st are considered in the development of the annual action plan, annual budget that staff and the CDC put together. The submission of a comment form doesn't necessarily guarantee that recommendation would be included in the budget. We frequently see nonprofits making presentations to the Community Development Commission. They like to discuss and promote their services that their organizations are able to provide and to request funding for their concept or their service within the public service category of the budget. The budget process also overlaps a little bit with the citizen participation plan. We have the January public input meetings, which begin the budget process. In January, we also have the CDC and City Council review any extensions or reprogramming of existing funds from prior fiscal years. And we have the deadline for the submission of the comment form on January 31st. After these meetings are completed in February, the city manager prepares a recommended budget for the upcoming fiscal year. It will incorporate the public input that we've received. We also look at any existing programs to determine the effectiveness. City manager may also recommend new services. The recommendation does not include any selection of contractors. All the contractors would bid for the provision of services. In March, the city manager's budget is presented to the CDC. The CDC takes the month of March to review and analyze, make recommendations on any changes to the budget. They make a formal recommendation to the City Council in April, and then during the April-May timeframe, the City Council has the opportunity to review the budget. The budget is preliminarily adopted in May, and that is when the 30-day comment period begins. There's also a public hearing to receive comments, and then a final adoption is held towards the end of June. The plan should be submitted to HUD by mid-August, and then the funds are available and the city can implement the plan on October the 1st. The appendix has the current year CDBG budget. The slides 25 and 26 are high-level breakdown of the sources and uses of the funds, and then a more detailed line item budgets are on the following slides 27, 28, and 29. So that concludes the presentation, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor Leffert. I have a couple questions. The map that's over in the corner, the numbers are the districts. Am I right?
Right.
And What's the district that's shaded in gray, what does that represent?
The gray are eligible census tracts. The census tract is 51% low to moderate income. The green is where a block group, which is a subsection of a census tract, is eligible, not the whole census tract, but a portion of it is, and then the white are ineligible areas.
Okay. Based on what you just said, do HUD make that determination, or do the city make that determination?
Well, it's based on the census data.
From 2000.
Right.
That census data, does HUD make that once that 2000 census data was given to them, or do the city make that decision?
HUD does.
HUD makes that decision.
Based on the census data.
Based on the census. Okay.
And it's a nationwide mapping.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
That's why we need to be counting in 2010. I'll put in a plug for Ms. Medrano.
Uh-huh.
We need to be counting in 2010 so we be sure we get everybody.
Okay. Now, what's in the white? That means that what?
That means the census tracts are not 51% low to moderate income.
Meaning that at that particular time, because things could have changed now.
Right.
Okay. Back then in 2000, that means that in the white, there was not at least 51% of the median income living in those areas.
Right.
Okay.
But Ms. Davis, I just want one thing. If somebody, an individual with the income requirement lived in those white areas on the map,
mm-hmm.
they could apply for a program and participate in it.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand that. But how do you put that in a map that's on the white area?
Well,
you can't.
You can't put a program that's specified only to that area in those unshaded census tracts. In other words, we couldn't have a Love Field West or whatever, the middle of the area there. We couldn't have a housing repair program that was only for that area.
Okay. So those individuals living in the white area, at that particular time, they would need to come down and apply themselves for a housing repair
Yes.
program.
Yes.
Now, with the 2010 census data that will come out hopefully here in the next couple months, mm-hmm. then we will get a new map.
Right.
It'll be a year. But this time next year,
in a year from now.
Right.
So we will have to wait a whole year to see how that map will look.
Yes, and probably you'll do another CDBG budget based on this map because the information won't be out till February or March of next year.
So we got 2 years.
Right, on
roughly,
this map, yes.
On this map that we got to work from. Okay. The other thing, when you talk about, and Mary, I want, can you find this out for me? When it comes to CDBG dollars, do HUD just give the city this money based on the census, or do you guys have to go out and
No, they give us an allotment every year based on the census and their budget, and we will get told at a certain time of year this is how much money you have.
Why does it have to be only said 20 million? Can it go up any?
Oh, it goes up, and it has gone down too. Depending on what the Congress gives them,
okay.
they divide that out amongst the country. And if Congress gives them more, our budget goes up. But sometimes Congress cuts it, and our budget goes down.
Now, I've heard that other cities perhaps get a little more than us, say New York City, for example.
Well, because they're bigger.
The population is much bigger.
Right. And originally, some cities did not take CDBG money. There were cities in our area that did not take CDBG money.
They take it now, don't they?
And we could have that money. Well, they wised up after a while and decided to take it. But for a while, we got money from some of the suburbs around here that didn't want CDBG money.
And money that we don't use, is there any money that we do not use?
Well, we're reprogramming it, and you budget it the next year.
So we don't send any money back to
No, we don't send money back. No, no, no.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I have one more. But on the NIP area on page 9, Can the white area use NIP money based on now on the map?
No, because the NIP is one of those. It's an area. It's a defined area, and we put CDBG money in that area, and that area uses it. So.
Okay. Okay. And then the last thing with the NIP. Did the federal government tell us that we had to do the neighborhood investment program, or is it something that we decided to do?
The Dallas City Council did that program.
So it was
y'all did it on the basis of in making differences in neighborhoods required focused investment. And so this is layering of investment in areas to make significant difference in those neighborhoods.
Okay, okay. And as council members, even though it's in the white area, on the map, I'm just talking about what I see on the map. Can we do a NIP area in those white areas?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I know a couple of people have already been informed, but just not related to CDBG, but the Tiger grants were announced by the Department of Transportation this morning. We received $23 million in grants there. $23 million in Tiger grants. Yep. And Eddie Bernice Johnson was very instrumental in that effort, too. Tiger grants are really the transportation grants that give a lot of freedom, not total, but give a lot of freedom to the authority that receives them. So it's one that we have some freedom in how we use as opposed to some of the other grants that come down are designated for a specific purpose. So it's $23 million, and that was announced this morning.
And, Mr. Mayor, I hope that everybody on this council will take the opportunity to thank Congresswoman Johnson.
Absolutely. Good. Okay. Mr. Atkins, please.
Mr. Mayor, on the CDBG grant of what we get from the federal government, what departments in the city of Dallas use
A lot of them. Housing, the health services division uses them.
Do some of the CDBG money go for administration?
Yes.
What is it
can go up to 20%. It's very staff intensive to manage and keep track of these grants, and so some of that money is spent for that.
Okay. I guess, you know, the BRICS we're talking about, I don't know if this is time to bring it up, you know, with bricks and mortar, that with the CBG, and I think, Carolyn, we have been talking about bricks and mortar with the CBG funding, and I just want to bring it up and just make a statement, and I hope you'll respond down the road, is that when we first started using CDBG, and we first started using the brick and mortar. When did we start using the brick and mortar?
About 5 years ago, is that right?
The policy was discontinued in 2004.
Four, 5 years ago.
And the reason why that we as a city stopped using, the federal government did not stop what you're doing, we stopped using, right?
Yes.
That's correct.
Council decided they didn't want to do it.
There was a council decision.
Yes.
Okay. To bring it back to council if we decide to bring in bricks and mortar, is that something we can bring back and look at?
Certainly.
That's what we're looking at, right, Carol?
Ms. Davis is working on it.
Mayor, Mayor?
Sure, sure.
One of the things that we're doing, the city attorney has the information. We want to make it a little different than it was in the past. So hopefully, once the city attorney finish out and working with the CDBG staff, we will give it to the chair of housing, and he will then submit it back to the housing committee. Then, if the housing committee have any other comments or decisions they want to make on it, then we'll bring it to the full council.
Okay.
But I think this is something that I'm hoping that the whole council can agree on.
Okay. So.
And we just need to ask when they'll bring it back.
I'm going to ask Tom Perkins when you're going to have that information, so you're going to bring it back to the housing.
Dave Cook.
Dave Cook.
We're getting some information to him.
what, you know, Dave's going to leave, so I'm trying to make sure, you know, before you leave on Friday.
Can you do it by Friday, Dave?
We get the information.
Ms. Davis's subcommittee had held, I think, three different meetings, and we had some input from the committee members and some input from the attorney's office, and we'll be done this afternoon with the draft resolution that I'll share back with Ms. Davis.
Okay, great. And colleagues, and I'm just going to make a statement, and I wish that the people who voted to take the bricks and mortar out look at it as a tool in our toolbox. And maybe that, you know, when the reason why they did take it out, we did not have accountability. Staff was not watching the toolbox, how it was used. So we need every tool in our toolbox to use anything necessary to make sure we got development going on. So I'm just trying to make sure colleagues have open mind about it, that we need every tool in our toolbox. Mary, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Allen, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I've not done a very good job of representing the underserved citizens of my district. I'm ashamed to say I do not know a whole lot about the CDBG money. I'm not as familiar with it as I should be. Pretty much my district in the past, we've always kind of reached in our hands and done a great job when it comes to handing out scholarship money and such for kids. Our service clubs raise over $300,000-$400,000 a year. We raise money to bring in experts to educate the kids on how to go about getting scholarships and how to get into college. But I need help. I need help. My district is made up of about 60%, 60,000 people are minorities. 35% or not. I've got a huge, huge district that's out there. As we've heard over and over again, I have a large, and I'm going to use the word underserved community because of the multifamily homes that I have in my community. And these are, for the most part, they were built back in the 70s and 80s, and so they're in an aging process. And I've got, in this case, 55,000-60,000 people living in these aging facilities. And quite frankly, after school, these kids don't have a thing in the world to do. I don't have a thing. I've got my schools, but at the end of the day, they hit capacity on their after-school programs. And we've never raised our hand in my district for any of this money to help. But these, you know, if I don't go out and ask and I don't raise my hand, well, you know, I'm their councilman. I represent them. I represent all people. So I'm here raising my hand for these folks. All you have to do is go around, and we can take some tours. I've got the greatest group of communities. I got the greatest group of kids that are out there. Every single school, and you've heard me say it, every single school I've got is either recognized or exemplary. And that tells you about these folks that are living in a lot of these homes. They're there for a better quality of life, and I've let them down when it comes to after-school programs. I've let them down when it comes to a community center. I've got one intersection, and I can name others. I got one intersection, Forest and Aldea. That intersection, within a half-mile radius, has 6,150 households. 6,150 households in just a half-a-mile walking distance. But nothing for those kids to do. There's nothing. They can go after school program, but say if you got the school, it's only 600. Say you got 600 kids in the program, in the school, but I can only have about 100 in that program. What do the other 500 do? What do the parents do? The mothers during the day that have little ones to take care of. I need help, and I need help, and I'm gonna fight like a junkyard dog for every dime that I can get. I want my fair share, and I want that to be, you know, I want everybody around this horseshoe to understand. I want my fair share because I'm going to look out for this underserved community, and that's all I'm asking for is just my fair share because I guarantee you I've done a terrible job of looking out for this underserved community, but those days are gone. Those days are gone. So, Mary, I'm going to need your imagination as we do this.
because my map, that map's got me on there. And I've got some unique situations. We said and we've talked about how we're going to use partnerships that are out there with other agencies. And we're going to pull this together. And if on slide 21, if you go slide 21, and when it comes to this, in March, city managers recommend the budget coming up. All I'm asking for, I'm not asking for anything right now, but that 2010, 2011, then, you know, I'm going to, again, be fighting like a junkyard dog to get that on there, because I want a plan. I want to plan for it now. I want to start getting, you know, so that we know where we're headed. And all I'm asking for is just my fair share for the folks in my community. And then if I get my fair share, I guarantee you, you will see results. So I'll look forward to working with you prior to that, because I need education. I need education on this money. And I need imagination on this money, because we're going to make a difference. We're going to make a difference. But I've got one last time. This community that really nobody's ever really spoke up for. And it's out there. We go across the city. We talk a lot about home ownership, but there's 240,000 multifamily homes, and there's about 240,000 residential homes. And so we've got a lot of density. We've got a lot of work to do. I just want my little fair share. Thank you, Mayor.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
But I just want to make sure that we're clear. Mr. Allen, I agree with you. Times have changed. Back then, perhaps the council member for that district didn't see its fair share. But we're talking about census population. Now, I want to make it very, very clear. Based on census population, when it comes in 2 years, if it's out there, you're going to get your fair share.
And I'm going to say right now, I'm not waiting 2 years.
I understand.
What I'm saying is back to imagination. Mary and or Gene, if you have a spot on that map and you don't see, say it's white, but say I've got an elementary school and I got 90% of those kids going to elementary school are on free lunch. Is there any wiggle room? Is there any wiggle room? Is there a way that I can go in with my imagination and get my hands on any of this money?
Sure. Most of the programs we qualify based on income of the individual as opposed to the area.
So where I'm going with that, Ms. Davis, again, I'm not waiting 2 years. And I hope the rest of my council members heard what I just said.
And Mr. Allen, I'm not going to ask you to wait 2 years.
Mr. Salazar, did you want to add something?
Just briefly...
I think I had the floor, but go ahead.
Okay.
All I'm going to say, just to finish up on that, and we'll leave it at that. Back to imaginations, you're exactly right about being sure, because you got to know exactly how to get your hands around
right.
that.
Right.
Because that's 10 years ago, and this world has changed drastically.
Absolutely.
In 10 years. But at the end of the day, I've got all these schools, and we've got them all spread out all over the city, that have these kids that are going to school getting free lunches, and they need that lunch because they've got to have it, and I'm making sure they're going to get it. My point is that it might not show up on that map, but there's a program that we can go out and we can, because we have these kids now that are doing this, and all I'm saying is after they do that, when they go leave that school, I want to make sure whether it's for 2 hours or an hour, that they have some kind of mentors around them, that I'm giving my kids, because this is, you know, we're back to single member districts. I want to make sure every kid in my district and every adult has the same opportunities across the board. So again, I'm not going to wait 2 years. There's no way. Something's going to be on that March budget. And I'm gonna I hate to be passionate, but I'm gonna fight like a junkyard dog.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. And again, the recommendations from CDBG do not start with the council. It starts with a commission where every council member has an appointee.
Absolutely.
And I would recommend that if
that every council member talk to their appointees, and I talk to mine on a monthly basis. And I will tell you, you may not wait 2 years, you may wait 4 years, you might have to wait 10 years, because the reality is we only have so much at CDBG. There's only so much money there. And, you know, while, for example, you know, you may have a NIP, I may have a NIP in my area, but my NIP has not seen a single penny. Because the NIP, when it was first drawn, all the money went into another district, even though it's the same NIP as where I'm in. So I've been waiting 5 years for NIP money because there was no money there by the time I came on this council. And the NIP was already programmed in to the same NIP, but in another council district. So even though, you know, you might see the gray in there, and it's going to expand probably in expenses, the reality is you cannot count and say, I'm going after CDBG and say, you've done enough for your district. That's not enough. You got to look at what you can get from CDBG. You got to look from the general budget. And you got to make the tough decision on this council to say, where can we get the funds to meet the minimum services that our citizens are wanting? Police, you know, fire, you know, economic development. You know, CDBG is only $23 million out of a $2 billion pot. Think about that for a second. $23 million out of $2 billion. So, you know, I'm going to work with my commission members and all my other appointees on this issue. And I applaud Mr. Allen because the people who live in his district have lived there for many years and have graduated kids. Kids move on. Other people move in. And I applaud him for looking out for those in his district, because we should all be doing the same thing. And I appreciate that. And I'm in the same boat with you. On the one side, I'm a southern council member because I have West Dallas. On the other side, I'm a northern council member because I have Northwest Dallas. And it's a tough balance act trying to get the resources for all of your communities and all of your schools. And I'm going to help. I'll help you what I can, Jerry, to serve those communities, because those kids, you know, need the help. And I will work with Ms. Davis and every other councilman to make sure that we can try to get services, especially for the kids, as best we can with as old resources we can. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Chipperfield.
Thank you, Mayor. Ms. Chipperfield, on page 10, mm-hmm. This is this designate where all the NI on the NI pre-target. Is this for the future, or is this where it is now?
These are the current NIP areas.
Current now. So So we're actually not in it. Because I've got some in my district also, in District 9. And I think what Jerry's saying is we just need our percentage of those funds, because we've got folks in our area too. In these areas, and I know you can't help everybody, right? I mean,
right.
I wish you could. But, I mean, we've got certain areas that we need help in also. So, if you're not on this right now, this designated target, you're probably not going to get any. Is that correct?
Well, there's a distinction. Most of the services that we provide with CDBG funds are available to any low-moderate person that lives in Dallas. We qualify you individually based on your income. The NIP areas were set aside to focus public improvements or capital improvements, like street improvements, things that are focused in the neighborhood, and that's why they're specific to an area, because they're targeted in a they're targeted in a CDBG eligible area for public improvements. There's that's the majority of the funds that we spend in the NIP are public improvements. We do street improvements, sidewalks, things like that.
So can we come talk with you or meet with you and look at what we do have in our neighborhood and see where we can maybe work with you to get some funds somewhere? Can we? Will you help us with that?
Certainly.
Okay, well, I'd love to meet with you on that.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Ms. Hodson, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to sort of react to Mr. Allen. I think you're right. I think all of us have that same need, and not all of us are getting our fair share. You know, CDBG budgets cap services at 15%, and that's through federal government guidelines. if we wanted to fund every person who wanted an after-school program in CDBG-eligible areas, we would need 100% of the CDBG funds to go to that. So that's where, you know, the system lies. The system lies if you follow the January guidelines and put in your proposal, and the CDC, the commission, looks at your proposals and says, okay, this money will go to after-school programs in for this person's program. And if it happens to be in District 5, 7, or 8, or 9, then that's where it goes. So we're all competing for the same 15% of that $42 million. And so I have no programs, no after-school programs in my district, and I'm completely CDBG eligible. I have no programs in NIP, that North Oak Cliff Marcellus. That area has not gotten any NIP money. So it's a process, and like Steve said, it's going to take some of us a couple of years. You know, a lot of it is to understand the process. Now, you know, our colleagues in South Dallas also have a great need. So, you know, you're not alone is my bottom line, is you're not alone. We're all competing for the same 15% of CDBG dollars that are allocated to Dallas, Texas. So, you know, those are my 2 cents worth. I would certainly, you know, appreciate if you, you know, talking to Eugene, obviously, I'm looking at North Oak Cliff Marcellus, and there's been not a penny put into that area from NIP money. So, once again, you're not alone.
Ms. Bergholm.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a couple of questions starting on slide 25. How is the breakdown here determined? How are the allocations done? I guess I'm also looking at slide, let me go to 26, maybe that's where, yeah, here we are. This is what I'm looking for. Who determines that $12 million will go to housing, $1.2 million economic development? How's that done?
Well, it's the budget process. The manager makes a recommendation to the Community Development Commission, and then they review and may make amendments and bring that forward to the City Council. So it's a kind of a collaboration.
And the,
but,
I'm sorry, the first
one, we can't, public services can't exceed 15%.
Right, that
so that's
I
kind
understand.
Of a set number.
I know that. But I was wondering about the rest of it.
Well, it starts with the community talking to the CDC about what programs they would like to see and like to have, and we listen to those too, and we begin to put those programs together. Also, again, over the years, you have programs that are ongoing, and, you know, you usually recommend the continuation of those programs.
Specifically under housing, because being on the housing committee, I see the various programs that we're working with, MAP and the housing renovation, repair. Okay. So who determines that allocation? Is that a recommendation from the housing department? Would
yes.
it come through that way?
Yes.
Okay. And then once those are set, can they be moved around during the year, or do they have
no,
to remain
set?
They have to be set. Okay.
If they're not spent, you remember we talked about reprogramming money.
Okay.
So even if
it's within housing, it has to formally be reprogrammed.
Yes.
Okay. On slide 27, where are the two child care service programs located? Who is being served through those programs? Do you know?
There are two separate programs. There's one which is city staffed, and the city provides vouchers to child care subsidies to low to moderate income working parents who don't qualify for any other form of public assistance. And then there's the child care services program where we contract with nonprofit agencies to provide assistance. I don't have the locations of the contractors.
Okay.
There are a good many of them, too.
So that's a program that we fund other programs. We're not providing that service directly from the city.
Well, we are providing it for the city, but we also fund other programs. We do both.
Okay. So the vouchers are the city's direct subsidy or the direct program from the city, and then we also give money to other
We contract with other
okay.
agencies, yeah.
Okay. Who administers the senior programs?
the Housing and Community Services Department.
Okay. And what does the Office of Senior Affairs do?
That's interaction with the seniors in the community, helping them find the programs and access the programs and qualify for them, that sort of thing.
Okay. And on slide 29, who administers the business loan program? And then my other question is, what is the Business Assistance Center program?
The Business Assistance Centers, there are five of them. Eight.
And
these are usually affiliated with chambers. They help small emerging businesses become established.
And how do they do that?
Classes, counseling, work with them. Rents, yeah.
So this is...
Right, to the businesses.
Oh, they give grants
right.
to the businesses. These businesses...
Right.
So there is a grant to the Business Assistance Center, and the Business Assistance Center provides...
Help to the businesses,
grants.
No.
The grant is to the Business Assistance Center. Okay, that's the end of my questions. Thank you.
Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, I originally was going to speak to reinforce Mr. Allen's comments, but I also want to speak to Ms. Hasso's comments. I have been as aggressively taken involvement in CDBG in my first year, 2 years in the council. So I'm in that same learning curve as you, Ms. Hasso. And I've asked Mary, our city manager, to get me back in the loop here on things that are relevant to my specific district. But I absolutely applaud Jerry, Mr. Allen, for stepping forward. It is important for him to represent his district. It's important for him to communicate that there's a change, that he's announcing a change in his approach, in his district representation approach for that. And for that, I respect you, Jerry, and I appreciate that for you. So I wanted to make that comment first and foremost to support you in your decision to step forward and be a champion for the needs in your district. I agree with you, Ms. Hasso. In my respective district, I probably don't have the fair, as equal fair share as well. The two things that I'm going to zero in on, however, are seniors programs and after school. Because I think those two most immediately will touch the citizens in the gray area of my District 3. While being cognizant of the needs and the balance of the needs throughout the city. Because I do think there's a balance with the servicing the existing needs and also those that are district-centric. I was kind of stunned when I looked at the briefing and saw that far down in Mountain Creek is not eligible for CDBG money. That kind of stunned me. But I guess that's what the census tract shows us. So I'm going to be pursuing moving forward carefully, but I wanted to thank you, Jerry, for you communicating and articulating the needs and the desires for you and your district. And I wanted to thank Ms. Hasso for, we're all being honest here and saying where we're at and where we think we're going to go. So in my specific district, I'm going to try to focus on seniors and after-school programs. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I think, for my eligible area in my district, and I know that the council has been indulgent of me to listen to this about this area that is quite unique in North Dallas insofar that most of the folks there are living several families in a household and don't speak English, and they have many challenges in their schools there. But I want to be real thoughtful about asking for money because I want to be thoughtful in my process of going about evaluating what the needs might be actually. Putting in an after-school program may or may not be a good solution in that area, or may not be the highest and best solution in that area. So I'd like someone on the staff to be able to come in and look with me about the demographics, about the challenges. Mr. Allen is putting in a Bank on Dallas program. I know that's a big challenge in my district. A lot of the robberies that occur in my district are because people carry money on their person and they don't bank. So I kind of would like to look at it in a little bit different situation, I guess, but I need some staff input in order to help me evaluate what types of programs might be available to us. Might not be CDBG. I don't know. Might be different programs that I think would be the highest and best use for that area. So, Mary, to the extent that you could have, I don't even know what staff to ask for, really.
Well, we're going to have to go back and make a plan here. I will tell you my first reaction is that I think we're going to have to ask our nonprofits to identify the geographic location of their customers. You may have a lot of CDBG money going into your area and not be aware of it because it is by applied by individual application. Now, that will be hard information to get, but I think right. But I think that's important to, you know, for instance, the African American Museum in the past has provided a summer camp program that took children from all over the community. And so there's no telling what area they were coming from, and I think that may be data we have to gather and let you know what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. And I guess what I'm saying is, you know, it could be housing. I know that there's not a need for senior services in that one area that's CDBG because the population, as I pointed out, is like there's 800 kids that are kindergarten and pre-kindergarten in one school. I mean, so I know that there's not a great need for senior services in that one particular area, but I just want to know how, what kind of staff can I get to come and help me evaluate the demographics of the area?
We can do some of that, but I would also suggest that the community meetings encourage folks in your areas to come talk about what the needs are in the community meetings about the CDBG budget. That's exactly what they're for.
Right.
And frequently that is just a conversation about in our area we are having a problem with, and that kind of focuses our attention. But we can do some looking,
right,
too.
I was trying to engage them. We're having a big discussion right now between myself and the school. We can't even, we need census workers in the area, but unfortunately they're not very many that have social security numbers. So it's a challenge. It's a real challenge. So I'd like to engage the community. They're very skeptical of coming to any kind of community meeting.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's also a challenge that I think we can address, but I don't know how to address it. So
we'll look and see what work we can do. I'm not sure we've got a lot of people that are qualified to do that, but we'll do work with you and see.
I would really like you to have just a staff person from CDBG or community development area just attend some conversations that I'm having with the school district principals in that area, because I think that's really the key to our area, to even figuring out if there's something that needs to be done and if there are needs that need to be met is working through the school district, through the RISD right there in that one particular area.
Okay, we can
area.
Do that.
Okay, so I would just request that of you. Thank you.
Terrific. Mr. Sherwood.
Thank you, Mayor. And let me say just on the city of Dallas as a whole, if there is an eligible area, regardless, northeast, west, or south, if there is an eligible area where CDBG dollars qualify, then those dollars are afforded to you in those areas. So if there's an area, north, that has an area within, I'm just saying north and south, that has an area within that portion of the city, and they qualify, those dollars are available to you. And the way and the things that we've talked about today, and this is a healthy conversation, so we can all better understand the possibilities. And I think, Ms. Coop, you said it right, and Mary, you said it, that there may be other nonprofit organizations that are doing some things that we just don't know about, maybe, and then maybe not. But if there's an area that's available and eligible within your district, then you qualify. Then what we need to do is begin to have more discussions with our appointees to the commission and get more involved with this. This is only one little pot of money. And certainly there are blighted areas more than others, but then there are eligible areas, and if the area is eligible, then at that point you have the same opportunity and options to get those services and to acquire those dollars. And I'm making different extension, and it can be wherever it is in this city. It is not just designated to District 4 or any other district. It is available to the citizens of this city, and that is led by way of what that census map and the eligibility of where those areas are identified. And if those areas are identified, then too, they're eligible. They simply need to apply. Ms. Allen, I appreciate you stepping up. Ms. Davis, I appreciate you holding up. And it's a healthy discussion. It's just a matter of how and where. And the facts will lay it out for us. If it's eligible, apply. If it's not eligible, then we need to go and do something else different. But it does not mean because we don't get CBDG dollars that we turn our back on areas that did not qualify. And so, Ms. Soom, I think that you stated best that we have to dig and find out how we can find other pots of monies to acquire that. This discussion is today simply on the CBDG, and the facts of that process will speak for itself, and those eligible areas will go from there. Thank you, Mayor.
Let's wrap it up. Ms. Margolin, Mr. Allen, and Ms. Davis.
Thank you. I really want to comment on two things. First, I completely understand the reason for and the need for the NIPS, because if you scatter resources all over the place, you don't have a strong impact. So I really do understand why it's important to focus resources on particular areas so you really can make a difference and have an impact. On the other hand, I specifically asked the executive director of the Vickery Meadow Improvement District to go to one of the forums to get information on CDBG money, because that's the one major area in my district that is eligible. It's a gray area. And she came back and she said that she got the distinct feeling that it was going to be a waste of her time because all the money was already designated for certain parts of the city. So I just think we have to be careful to have a balance. I totally support NIPS. I support putting the majority of the resources there to have an impact, but I don't think that we should be closing out other eligible participants. And so the fact that she said that, my reaction was, well, why did we have these meetings if she's going to walk away basically feeling that she shouldn't bother?
Well, I don't know what she heard, but I will tell you, when I talk to somebody about a CDBG application, I tell them that it may take a while to get in line. These programs have been going on for many years. They're programs that the council and community is supportive of, and as they are completed or as they no longer need the funds, they might drop out. But they usually continue, so it's getting a piece of that pie that's already cut up is challenging. I just don't want anybody to expect that the first year they try this, it works. It usually does not, and that may
important.
Have been the message.
Well, and that's important information for me, and I will relate that to her. So thank you.
Just kind of sum it up real quick. Appreciate all the comments that I've heard. There's so much need and so little money. So much need, so little money. I think looking at that, though, and if we go back and look, the last 10 years, just on this community development block grant money, there's probably been in excess of $175 million that's come in the last 10 years. That's a lot of money. Any way you cut it, that's a lot of money that's come in. I look at it today, and we're raising our hands. We're raising our hands. And I'm not going to wait too long, because I'm serious about this. Raising our hands. I look at it, it's a brand new day. Not so much going out there and trying to say, I want this money. But it's a brand new day of how you go and what you do and use your imagination. The world changes. And maybe 10 years ago, that was okay. But not today. Maybe the world needs to change, and we do start using our imaginations to do this. You're exactly right. It's been a process for myself over the last several months. Just like Councilman Salazar, I believe it was at your, or it might have been with Councilwoman Madron at one of the meetings. Y'all had the United Way, and they talked about their 2020 plan. United Way's got a whole lot of money, a whole lot of money. And what they talk about, they talked about partnerships. That's what they were after, was partnerships.
And so this is where we start our imaginations. You got a vacant shopping center out there. You got a vacant shop. You go out to a lot of our, I got them. I got one there at Forest and Aldea. 6,150 households around that vacant shopping center. And I'm not saying this works because I'm not knowledgeable enough, but maybe the city pays the rent on a little building there and we sublease it to somebody from Big Thought. We sublease it to somebody from YMCA. I don't know if that's the right answer or not. I do not know. But my imagination is going to keep me going down that road, because if I can get some kids to get some exercise, and then I can get Big Thought in there, and I get Big Brothers and Big Sisters, give them some space. We all work as a team together, and that's really when I say it's kind of a, because we're raising our hands on this. I've got too much need, waited too long to raise our hands. And then this Monday, if y'all get a chance, budget, finance, and audit. Back to this, we're having the young lady that runs the 211 program. You know, the telephone 211, because that's the umbrella, and that's where we got to know where to send people to. She's going to come to budget, finance, and audit and educate us on what's all available that's out there. Because the more I know what's available, the more I can direct these folks that are underserved in my community. So, anyway, imagination, it's a brand new day. Let's look and see how we can all work together. And I guarantee you, though, I'm not going to get in line for 4 years from now. And it's my fault that I wasn't in line. But I'm going to start jumping and just asking. I just want a little bit, because I'll make a huge difference when I get just a little bit.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to say, I've been working with CDBG since 1983. I've been involved in grassroots, community-based nonprofit organizations. I started when I was 22 years old working here at City Hall with grassroots, community-based organizations. I can tell you the very first mayor who I worked with, John Ware, Richard Knight, and other of the city managers, Mary was not on the city manager at the time. I sat on the CDBG commission for about 5 years. I had worked grassroots. This money was designed for poor people. And I know the times have changed. We got poor people in different pockets throughout the city. Mr. Allen, I commend you for wanting to now step up to the table and say, it's a new day. But I don't want us to forget and I used to be a CDBG grant writer. And I've been working with federal funds for a number of years. And at that particular time, people didn't want in the North. Some people didn't want the money because they thought it was a bad thing to have CDBG money. And it's not a bad thing. It wasn't a bad thing then. It's not a bad thing now. When DHA moved out in certain parts of the North Dallas area, it was all on the tubes. But now everybody embraced DHA coming out into some of those communities. DHA has always been in poor communities. Some of your state legislators and senators grew up in the projects that was funded by DHA money. With my district, and I can only speak for my district, I have other entities that's in my district. I have, and I've been working in the nonprofit area for years, I have nonprofit housing development organizations. I can't do this alone. I have St. Philip and St. Anthony who go out and come to me and think outside of the box. I have schools who have worked with DISD, PTA presidents. They think outside the box and have helped me. I've had Camp Fire USA, and I've met with them and said, let's go into the apartments and try to put a program out in the Ferguson area. And we was able to find 4 or 5 apartments that are now working with us. This, have the YMCA. They go out and try to fund and find money themselves. It's just not CDBG money alone. Even though I got a NIP area, I deal, you go down on Bear Street now, it looks totally different than it did 12 years ago. I am happy to say that the city of Dallas gave that area a chance and put their money through federal funds down on Bear Street. And it's a new look. It's a new day down on Bear Street. But, my God, I've lived in an area that's been poor all its life.
Appreciate that, the comments. I think it was a good conversation on an issue that's very important to everyone. Clearly, I think it was pointed out that the needs are greater than the funds, and that's always a challenge that we've all got to deal with. I think clearly all of the council people want to make sure that their districts are addressed. There are challenges in every single district. Having been all the way around the city, there are areas, I think, in each one of our districts that have challenges where these funds are going to be important and they're going to be useful. I think what we heard is each one of our council people want to feel that they're addressing the needs in their individual districts, as well as, I think this council has always been of that perspective, of make sure that we take a perspective of the city in total and make sure that we're pushing our city forward. Clearly, it's going to be important as we go through, Mary, to have that data that you mentioned so that we can look at the individual programs, make sure we understand where that is in relation to some of the more overall programs. And I think it's also going to be important, and I think you said it, Mr. Allen, that there's an imagination. Not only this money, but how do we work with it in individual districts, other groups that are in nonprofits, those sorts of things, so that we're working with it and trying to maximize every single dollar that we can get for the greatest benefit of our citizens. Good conversation. Appreciate it. Still some work to do. It's an evolving process, and I appreciate everybody's comments and clearly their passion and their interest. It's now 12:10. The intent is to go into executive session. And let's do the lunch and the executive session will overlap. We still got one more briefing. It's the census briefing. The intent is to come back at 1 o'clock or as close there to as we can and have that briefing, and then we'll go into speakers and complete it for the day. Given that it's 12:10 on February 17, 2010, the City Council will now go into a closed session under Section 551.071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the City Attorney in the following matters. Wilkins, representing Williams, Marcellin Brown representing Marcellin versus Dallas, Navian Homes versus VRD Development, TxDOT Issues, and Holiday versus the City of Dallas. And again, anticipate being back in session at 1 o'clock. Thank you. I think if we had a good reason to discuss this next briefing, it was in the briefing we just finished, because clearly that impacts a lot of different elements, the census and trying to get the population where significant dollars and programs like the one we just went through are dependent on that census coming up. Ms. Medrano serves as the vice chair on a national basis of the census program. And I was wondering if you could kind of lead this off for us.
I would love to. As we had the CDBG briefing a little while ago, as the mayor mentioned, and as I have been almost preaching since July at our retreat in Paradise, Texas, of how significant the 2010 census would be to our city, to our region, and to our state, I have been following the census articles, not only in our local newspaper, but also in the USA Today. And at the end of December, at the beginning of January, they talked about the census. They talked about the South. They talked about Texas and how all eyes are on Texas, especially the northern region of Texas. The 2010 census is as important to Texas as the 1990 census was to California. In 1990, California gained about 7 new congressional seats. The mayor and I have spoken, and from his reports and my reports, it looks like Texas will gain 4, possibly a 5th congressional seat if we get everyone counted. And it's all about census tracts, as we talked about our previous briefing. It's talking about every street, every house, every garage apartment, every back apartment, and we are concentrating at the City of Dallas on hard-to-count communities, the HTCs. And those communities are your apartments, Mr. Allen. Communities that maybe have single parents, senior citizens, people in communities maybe that haven't completed high school. Those are your hard to count communities. I am going to introduce the census manager for the City of Dallas, Yasmin Barnes, and she's done a phenomenal job in trying to invigorate the city council members to get involved, because it's such an important task that we have in our hands to educate, you know, the folks that are not in the not-to-heart count communities. They're going to complete their census form, and they're going to send it. It's those areas that are hard to count that they will not, and that's who we need to make sure that we have them complete their forms. I think one of the things that we need to focus on is to make sure that they complete their own form. I think that, you know, them filling them out, completing them, and sending in will be the most accurate. When someone comes and knocks on your door that you don't know, and you're going to say, well, how many people live here? For just numerous reasons, you might just say, oh, me, or just me and my husband, or me and my daughter. You may not say, well, Uncle Fred has lost his home, and he and his wife and three kids, well, they're staying with us, Ms. Medrano. They're not quite living with us. Where else would they be living? And so those are some of the questions that we have to make sure that if someone is living with you and they don't have another place, they're living with you. You count them there. Infants are counted as well. This is one exercise in this government that everyone is equal. From the tiniest baby that was born yesterday or today to the most senior citizen in your community, everyone counts. And the Constitution says everyone residing in these United States gets counted. And we know from the previous briefing, you know how important it is that everyone gets counted. So I'm going to pass the microphone over to Yasmin Barnes, and thank you very much for doing a great job, and I know that you're going to encourage us to do something on March the 6th, and I hope that all of us take that to heart and really drill down into your heart to count communities and making sure that everyone gets counted. I thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
I'm going to briefly update you today on the census awareness efforts for the Mayor's Complete Count Committee, the City of Dallas Census Team, and the local census staff. And before I start, I'm here to answer questions about the census and give you a brief update about Census Bureau efforts is Christy Hernandez, and she'll come up pretty soon after I'm done. Earlier this morning, we did have some representatives from our Complete Count Committee here, Ken Benson, Edna Pemberton, but they did have to leave. So if you have questions, I can pass those on to them. If you turn over to slide 6, I'm going to brief you on the Complete Count Committee, and we'll start with our Outreach Committee and what they've been doing. Carmen Garcia is leading our Outreach Committee, and they are doing an awesome job getting out to the community. They have reached over 140,000 people at well over 130 events. That's our Complete Count Committee, volunteers, and the staff here at the City of Dallas. We did have our outreach meeting series. We had our community, and we targeted different communities within the City of Dallas. So we had our community consensus meeting, we had our business consensus meeting, and then we had our Hour of Census Power meeting targeting our faith-based community and getting ready for Census Sunday. And Census Sunday was this past Sunday on February 14th, which was Valentine's Day, and we labeled that We Love Our Community, so we encourage people to love their community and complete their census form. We had several churches that partnered with us. We're getting our numbers in now and reports from churches on what they did. We are already getting reports that we've reached several thousand people through Census Sunday. The outreach committee is also working to educate staff of large employers here in Dallas. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano will be speaking at DART on March 18th to their employees. And DART has actually partnered with us to put up posters and other types of materials in their areas where their employees are. We're also sponsoring events like the March 6th event, and I'll talk to you a little bit more about that, and our Census Sunday event. And back to Census Sunday really quickly, we reached out to over 900 churches. So there are lots of churches in the city of Dallas, and we have sent emails and letters and actually gone physically to the churches and visited them. And we hosted several trainings to get them ready, prepare them to speak about the census, and we did get great feedback. We are also partnering with specific organizations to make sure that we hit those hard-to-count populations. We have partnered with the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas. They have 864 properties in Dallas, which equals about, they've given me a number of 188,000 units across the city of Dallas. And they have agreed to send out a packet of information to all their, to all of their apartments that are a part of the association with a letter from their leadership for the Apartment Association, our Mayor Leffert, and some of the state representatives, telling them how important the census is and what they can do to help. We've also partnered with the Metroplex chapters of Alpha Kappa Alpha. There are about 7 chapters, and they get together and do an event. And this year they're going to do a outreach event on March 27th. They've picked, strategically picked, grocery stores in the hard-to-count areas, and they're going to go there, set up a table, and pass out census information. I remind you about our partnership with the Visiting Nurses Association. They're going to put a reminder in their 4,000 meals that they send out every day and let the elderly population know how important the census is and to remember to fill out their forms. And I'll talk to you a little bit in a minute about our meetings with you all, but some great ideas have been coming out of the Complete Count Committee co-chair meetings with the City Council. And one came from Ms. Davis, and she really emphasized a grassroots approach to reaching our Hard to Count committees. So that led us to partner with some of the homeowner associations, apartment associations that are located in or near those Hard to Count areas, and they are actually going to get out and beat the streets and walk around and pass out information to some of those Hard to Count populations. On slide 7, we'll talk a little bit about our public relations subcommittee, who is it's led by Willis Johnson, and they are really trying to reach out to the Hard to Count committee of Hard to Count population through the media. They have actually gotten us several radio interviews, and we've been able to promote the census via the radio. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem, a pastor. Aller, who is the pastor of the Oak Cliff Presbyterian, Oak Cliff Presbyterian Church, where we held our Census Sunday, and we actually had Representative Caraway on the phone. They did a really good interview on Heaven 97 as we were promoting our Census Sunday, and they answered a lot of questions about the census that callers had. And we also, K104, which is listened to by a big population of our Hard to Count folks, they play some of the national ads every single day. But they've also been putting in plugs for our local efforts here. And they did that as well for us during the Martin Luther King parade. As we walked through the parade, they actually made some comments about how important the census is. And they've continued to do that. We also have weekly announcements on 7:30 a.m. It's a morning show hosted by Willis Johnson, and he speaks about the census almost daily and talks about how important it is and gives tidbits and articles about, you know, what we use that money for. And we also have a partnership with WRR. They have put some census information up on their website. I'll go back up to our social networking sites. We talked with Ms. Hunt, and she thought we would do the city a great disservice if we did not hit that social networking and social media crowd. And so we've done that. So if you look at page eight, there is a snapshot of our Twitter and Facebook page. And we have several fans and friends, and the Complete Count Committee volunteers who manage that page are F. Carl Banks and Greg Shelton, and they post something just about every single day. So make sure that you go on and click like, and so that it shows that you like the comments and the articles that they have on there. F. Carl Banks of District 5, yes ma'am. He is the Complete Count Committee appointee of Ms. Hill, and they do an awesome job on our Facebook page. If you turn over to slide number 9, our resources committee is really gearing up. They are doing an outstanding job getting us some resources that we so badly need. We have now confirmed a monetary donation from Metro PCS, and they will be donating $10,000 to the Complete Count Committee's efforts. And so we will put that money to good use and focus on our hard to count population. We've also got printing materials, because as you know, we hand out hundreds of pamphlets and brochures at all the events that we go to, so we desperately need copies. The Riley Echols Printing Company gave us 5,000 copies, and MALDEF has actually given us 6,000 hand pamphlets, which are front and back Spanish and English, so we do have those available. We're also partnering with DART, and they have donated some additional advertising space on their scrolling boards in their buses. The Census Bureau on a national level did purchase ad space to wrap some of the buses, but this is in addition to that. Now, of course, we still do need donations. If you know of anyone or any business in your district that wants to contribute, we will definitely be glad to take those donations. We need funding, again, for printing, for billboard space. Let me go back. We did get some billboard space donated by Clear Channel. They have donated some of their electronic billboards, which will start running probably the 1st of March. So we do still need billboard space donated, printing, radio and television, PSA time, that is vital to us, and funding for sponsored events. We are looking to host a Census Eve event. We're still in the planning stages, but we will definitely need sponsorships for that. If you turn over to slide 10, the Speakers Committee is busy, busy, busy. They have averaged since August, since we started this effort, they've averaged about 3 to 4 speaking engagements per week. And going into March, I see that doubling. I see them doing at least 10 speaking engagements per week. That's all during the week, all times of day, especially on the weekends. We have a link on our City of Dallas census site that allows people to request a speaker. So between the request from the internet, the council requests, and the outreach partners that we meet out at your event, we have done a lot of speaking engagements, and we look forward to doing more leading up to April 1st. On slide 11, the Complete Count Committee has asked that you partner with us, and you've done an awesome job doing that. We, of course, have the co-chairs have been meeting with the council members, and if you would like a second round of meetings, we would love to come back and meet with you. You have had some great ideas, and one of those that really turned into a great partnership is when we met with Mr. Allen. He mentioned, have you talked to Richardson ISD? And we were thinking, why would we talk to Richardson ISD? But we found out that there are 29 schools in the City of Dallas that are a part of Richardson ISD. And those children live in Dallas, and their parents live in Dallas, so we need to make sure that they're counted. We have partnered with the Richardson ISD Communications Department, and we will be getting the message out to those parents and to those schools and doing some presentations. So that turned out to be a great lead for us. We have also asked the council members to partner and sponsor activities. Please continue to go out and speak about the census. Be as creative as you like. We love that. Ms. Medrano and Ms. Hossel teamed up for a LULAC event, and they enlarged a questionnaire and the envelope that it's going to come in, so people could actually see what the envelope looked like so that they don't throw it out as junk mail, and they also got to see what questions were on the questionnaire. So that was a very effective tool to use during their presentation. We also are asking the council members to participate in Census Awareness Week. We have designated Census Awareness Week for the last week of each month leading through April. We've asked you to do things like blog during that week about the census, call into your favorite radio station, send an email blast about the census, or, of course, I see Ms. Hossel has hers on, wear your census lapel pin. And all of those have, all of you have been given one, so make sure you wear it on the Wednesday of the last week of the month. Your council, your request for us to come out to your meetings. You all have flooded our office with requests, and we appreciate that. We try to accommodate every single request, and if we can't, we get information there. So continue to send us your request. Let us know what your activity is, when it's going to be, and we will be happy to come out and make a presentation. Okay, if you go over to slide 12, we'll talk a bit about the City of Dallas Census Team efforts, and we work really hard to support our Complete Count Committee's efforts. Anything they need, we're there to make sure that it happens for them. And also, we have additional citywide efforts that we're working on. A brother-sister team, Anthony and Sarah Garcia, wrote a song about the census and how important it is. And so now we have teamed up with the Lincoln High School Media class, and they are producing a video to go with that song. Of course, you all will be featured in that video. We are making arrangements. We are making arrangements. There may be dancing involved. The arrangements to schedule your participation in that video are being made now, so please look for that in the next couple of weeks because we want to roll that out before March 1st. We will also have water bill messaging for the month of March, and we'll have some robocalls as well, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. We've been trying to send out a press release about every other week about anything that we're doing, any information we can find. We're trying to send out press releases. Frank Librio and his staff have been a great help to us in writing our press releases, helping us write them and get them out. We're also utilizing the City of Dallas Channel 16. We're running our census trivia, and we're also running the Portrait of America in Spanish and in English just continuously. And once our video is complete, we'll be running that information as well. We do have a new Dallas Delivers that will be coming out pretty soon. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano interviewed Willis Johnson and talked about very important census information, so that will be running as well. One thing that we're very excited about is Spring Break Camp Census. And this idea has actually morphed into something even bigger. We recently got an intern, and this is her project. She will be working with the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Dallas, the YMCA, churches all around Dallas. We're working with the City of Dallas Park and Rec and Libraries to incorporate the census in schools information into the spring break camp so that the kids will take that information back to their parents. She contacted the Girl Scouts of America, and they said, we don't have a spring break camp, but we want to do something else, and we want to incorporate this information. So they may be putting on another event, a total event dedicated to census information. We're also partnering with the Boy Scouts of America. They now get a badge if they help out with census. So if you know of any Boy Scout troops, send them our way. We'll hook them up with some volunteer work and help them get their census badge. And we're also continuing to update our 2010 Census website. Our next step is to list our donors now that we have some, and some additional information. We put articles on there, and now we have a working calendar that goes, and you can go in and it shows you our calendar of events. If you go to slide 14, working with our departments is vital to us getting the word out about the census. We have enlisted the help of 311. They have put a confirmation message on every confirmation message that goes out to people who submit a 311 request online. And they're also going to train their operators. They're going to give them a script to say a closing message about the census as they close their calls. We've also provided posters and materials to all of the libraries, the park and recs, and the WIC clinics around town. And they have put those posters up and actually have told us that they are getting questions about the census. We've also had some census education speakers training for our frontline employees. We have so many employees here, like in vital statistics and streets department, that come into contact with citizens on a daily basis. We've held two trainings so far, and we've trained over 200 employees on just the bullet points, what you should say about the census if someone asks you. We also helped several departments apply for Census Bureau funds that were made available. They were called the Partnership Support Funds. Several departments did get awarded. We dropped off some things for you, some examples of the items that they got. That money could only be used for promotional items, but some of our departments, like Strategic Customer Service, the Office of Financial Services, they have already been awarded their funds and have purchased their items. Several other departments, like the library, the convention center, they have also applied and will be receiving funds soon. The census promotion in the department newsletters is going very well. The Trinity River News has posted some information about the census in their newsletter. Strategic Customer Service has as well, and several other departments. And we're also working with other departments to share resources. The sanitation department, they have lines, the robocall lines, the automated system calls. They have secured those lines through March, but they only need them through February. So they have allowed us to use those calls, and Deputy Mayor Pro Tem and our Mayor Leppert will be recording some messages that will go out and remind our citizens and our residents that the census is coming and you need to fill it out by April 1st and send it back. On slide 15, you'll see we also have our internal employee campaign going on. We continue our Fourth Friday activities. We also have our Countdown to Good Health contest, which is sponsored by Mayor Pro Tem Caraway. And it was his idea to promote a healthy lifestyle to the employees of the City of Dallas. But we thought we could also incorporate the census, since it is a countdown census day. So during their lunch and learns, we go in and we talk about the census. thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Employee information series. We have partnered with several of the big departments that have work crews and employee staff of 200 or more, like our water department, our streets department, and others, to go out to their staff meetings, their crew meetings, their team meetings, and give them information about the census, because they are residents as well. We have, I think the last number was 400 to 500. We have trained a little bit over 400 employees at those meetings. And we also submit information to the City Highlights newsletter that is sent out to our employees as well. On slide 16, Christy Hernandez is going to come up and give you some information about the Census Bureau's efforts, and then I'll come back and close out the presentation, and we'll open it up for questions.
Thank you. I'll be very brief. When the Partnership Bureau, Department of the Census Bureau first started out, we were given some initiatives to really focus on, and that's what we've been doing over the last few months since, I guess, last summer, is really going out into the community to create partnerships with anybody that would help us spread the census awareness messages. And we're now focusing, going back to those partners and just strengthening those relationships, and now asking them if they said they were going to do something to do it now and to institute their census awareness campaign. And those are in faith-based institutions, the Census and Schools Initiative. We have a great relationship with DISD, community organizations, immigrant outreach, and also kind of going back to them with our regional roadshow. Ms. Hill helped us open up kickoff the regional roadshow tour in at the Menards on Ledbetter. And it's been to, I think, two schools in Dallas, and we'll be at Medrano in April, and has been at a Mavericks game as well and a couple other different locations. The National Road Tour, the closest it's going to come to this area, will be at Traders Village in March, so if you have a chance to go out there and see it, it's pretty neat. Thank you to all of you who attended or participated in our local census office openings. That represented a shift for us, for the Census Bureau, to more of the operations side. We've been working, all the faces that you've been seeing up till now have been the partnership side, and you saw them slightly during address verification, and now they're really kicking into high gear to get the count started. They are, all of our local census offices are now officially open. There's four of them that service the city of Dallas. Right now, those local census offices are testing, and each one of them, I know the one that services East Dallas and Southeast Dallas is doing really well with their recruiting goals. The South Dallas office is doing very well. They're doing so well with their recruiting goals that they're now helping out the other ones that aren't doing so well. We're having a little bit of trouble in Dallas North and a little bit of trouble in Dallas South, Dallas Central, that we've asked Yasmin to help us with as well, and that's just getting some information to you all about those hot spots in the city where our recruiting numbers are low. Right now what they're doing is testing, and soon that will be followed by actually hiring to get those people started in April. So please look for that information, because if it affects your council area, we sure would like you to know what kind of help we need in getting the word out about the jobs. We've just recently, and we're very close to finalizing our list of Be Counted and Questionnaire Assistance Center locations, a lot of several libraries, recreation centers, schools in Dallas will all be questionnaire assistance centers or Be Counted sites, and that's where the City of Dallas residents can go to get help filling out their questionnaire, getting it in a different language, or getting any question answered, including getting a replacement questionnaire if for some reason theirs did not come in the mail. So we appreciate everything that Yasmin and her staff is doing. I think Yasmin and I talk on a daily basis, and they're very much out there working the community. When we go out and speak, it's very rare that either her team hasn't been out there or she goes out and speak. It's very rare that we haven't been there as well. So we keep crossing paths, which is good. So keep sending us those ideas, and we'll try to address them as we can. Thank you.
Okay, on slide 17, I'll focus on one date, which is the March 6th date. That is our Dallas City Council Census Awareness Weekend. And we had originally termed that the Census Rally and Fun Walk Weekend, Fun Walk Day. But several, after meeting with the assistants, several of them stated that council members had better ideas about how to reach their community. And you know your area, so we felt that was best, so we just changed the name to Awareness Weekend. We are asking that all the council members do some type of census event on March 6th. And this information has gone out to your assistants, and we've actually had a meeting with them to get some of their feedback on their ideas. Atkins is actually having a parade, and his parade will end in a community event at one of their community centers. So we thought that was a really good idea. If you need assistance, let us know. We will try to get you as much information as possible. We will also try to work with your Complete Count Committee appointees to make sure that they are involved with your activity. So So if you have any additional questions about that, we can get with your assistance and provide additional information. On slide 18, we just ask you to remember the core message. Tell it to everyone that you see. It's easy, it's important, it's safe. You know why. It's easy. It's the shortest questionnaire in history. It's important. There are $400 billion at stake, and it's safe. None of that information will be passed on to any other agency. It's all strictly confidential. And it's 10 questions. It's going to take you about 10 minutes, and it will impact the next 10 years of our lives. So with that, my presentation is concluded, and we will open it up for questions.
Terrific. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor. Yes, but can I have a copy of the questionnaire? Do you have
yes.
a sample copy?
We can get you a copy.
Okay, I would like to see how it looks.
Okay. I will say we have copies, and we'll write sample on them. The Census Bureau had given out some copies before, and just to make you guys aware, some people fill those sample copies out and turned them in and thought, I've done my part, I've participated in the census. But we want everybody to know we do have some sample copies, and they are samples only. So if you show them to your constituents, you can enlarge them or get them laminated. What we try to do is if we pass them out at a meeting, we take them back up. But
okay.
I can provide you a copy.
The location, where are the locations? She mentioned four locations.
Oh, the question is the local census office location.
Mm-hmm.
It's Duncanville services Dallas South. The Mesquite office services East Dallas. Dallas Central. And then Dallas North.
Okay, so where are those? Okay, Mesquite, Duncanville. Where are the other two locations?
Oh, those are in Dallas. One's in Dallas North and one's Dallas Central.
What is Dallas North? Where is Dallas North?
The Dallas North, the actual address is actually in Richardson, but it encompasses all of the North Dallas area. So, like, even the Duncanville one services Dallas South, but what they do is they take several census tracts and then they try to put a local census office right smack dab in the middle of that location of that area, and that one ended up in Duncanville. However, a good portion of their boundaries are Dallas South.
Well, you know, and I'm not going to harp on this, even though Dallas is much bigger than Duncanville and the office is in Duncanville, why should they not just put one somewhere here in downtown or somewhere in Dallas?
There is Dallas Central is at Mockingbird and 35.
Okay.
That one services what you would think of as Dallas Central. And then, then the other two are in those cities. But the purpose of those offices is really since we hire from the communities, we hire whatever zip code you're in so that you can count the people in your neighborhood. They work their entire coverage area. So their locations, and they're not a public office either, so it's not like people, they don't have a storefront where you can go and get information. That's what the Questionnaire Assistance Center and BeCounted sites are for. So those local census offices are just really where they're running the base of operations from.
Okay, so if the closest one is Mockingbird for Dallas.
Yes, for Dallas Central.
Okay, then. And then on the March 6th, whatever we decide to do, do you guys provide all the information, the table setups and all that stuff, or is it something we will have to do?
Well, that's something we asked the assistant. We gave the assistant some guidelines and said we would like for you to plan and get sponsors and provide the materials. We will help you out as much as we can because our
budget is
resources
low.
Limited. But we will leave that up to you. If you want to piggyback on another event that's already going on and just have a census table there or a speaker, that would be fine as well.
Okay, then.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Cadane.
One question. When will they be mailing them out?
The census questionnaire will be mailed out mid-March. I think it's March 15th through 19th. That's spring break week. So around that time, they'll be mailed out, and they're asking that everyone send them in on or before April 1st.
Why are they mailed out during the spring break? Aren't you afraid you'll lose some?
No, that was just the midweek. They didn't want to mail it out too early, so they're giving people about 2 weeks to fill it out. It just happened to fall during that time.
Well, I'm saying a lot of people may not be home, and a lot of them maybe get lost. I think you'd get them out earlier so people got a month to look at them and make sure they get them out, get them back.
The April, they've always done it about 2 weeks before April 1st because the April 1st date is in the Constitution. So they're, like this year, April 1st happens to fall on Holy Thursday, and so a lot of Catholic churches are not going to be using or spreading their census messages that Sunday before, which is Palm Sunday, and it just happened to work that way in the calendar.
So it'll be between the 15th and the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Secretary? No. The buzzer went off. Did you have a question you'd like to ask?
Yes, I do have a question.
Since you asked.
Thank you very much, actually. Since you asked, Mayor, I just want to make an announcement on March 6th at 10 a.m. We're going to parade. We're going to walk from Paul Quinn to Tom Allen in behalf of the 2010 census. Y'all all invited. Say y'all need a good walk, Shepherd. Thank you.
Sounds good. Appreciate that. Great.
We have several speakers that have signed up to speak this afternoon, starting off with Deborah Gibson, William Hopkins, and Zumba Nuex, Tamara Washington, DJ Mayfield, Wayne Wooten, and Leslie Allen Davis. While Ms. Gibson is coming forward, is Ms. Gibson here?
No.
Mr. Hopkins, while Mr. Hopkins is coming forward, Mayor, we're doing 2 minutes for our speakers. Citizens and other visitors attending city council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council or while attending the city council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the sergeant arm is so directed by the presiding officer. And the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. You have 2 minutes to speak. Then you will see the amber numbers flashing and then red numbers meaning stop, Mr. Hopkins. Please state your name and your address for the record, sir.
My name is William Hopkins.
Ms. Hopkins, I don't think they can hear you in your...
Is that on?
Is it on? Okay.
My name is William Hopkins. Tom, I come down here to try to help some poor people in West Dallas. You give me 2 minutes. Don't nobody say nothing about it. No council people know black, Hispanic, Jewish people, whites. Nobody say nothing about it. I was watching the briefing, and you was talking about the CDBG money. And someone asked, in the white area, you don't send money back. And that was on the map. It was a white area on the map. But really, in reality, in the white area, you don't send money back for the white people. The CDBG money was for the white. It's for the white people, and it's not for the blacks or the Hispanics. The NIP money is not for the blacks or the Hispanics. You say, and British Johnson come down here with some tiger funds. West Dallas got two swings at the Madinaz. I wonder, Eddie Bernice Johnson, most likely it's for the white people. If Eddie Bernice Johnson helped with the tiger money, most likely it's for the whites. So, to prove me wrong, I want to ask, can you give some of the tiger money to the blacks or the people in South Dallas to help them with anything Leo Tanner gave Mary Soon $25 million out of the bond money one time. I wonder if some of the poor people in South Dallas could use some of the $25 million that Leo Tanner gave Mary Soon. I was ill when he done it, when he gave the money away. You can get the money away in the black area. You can always switch the money in the CDBG, whatever funds you got, you can always switch the money from the black and Hispanic area and switch it to the white area in Dallas. Don't nobody say nothing. This is a Hitler type. I feel like I'm in a Hitler type environment.
Next speaker.
Every time I
now the next speaker.
Our next speaker is going to be Nzumba Nulick.
Very much.
And he's not here, Mr. Mayor, and Tamara Washington.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Tamara Washington. I live at 2814 Painted Trail, Dallas, 715-237. And I'm here today to speak on the next police chief. I've heard that, I've heard that there's been meetings about with community involvement on the next police chief. And it's just my suggestion that when it gets down to the final two, that there still be some community community input when it gets down to maybe the last two. I want to talk about the 111th Congress first session, H.R. 476 in the House of Representatives, and basically it's a bill. The Housing Fairness Act of 2009, and basically it just says that there's grants to private entities to study housing discrimination, and it says conducting comprehensive studies that examine the causes of housing discrimination and segregation, the effects of housing discrimination and segregation on education, poverty, and economic development. In my opinion, I could save a whole lot of paper on it and just say, housing discrimination, if you're the victim of it, is no tea party. So, that could save a whole lot of pieces of paper on that study. And as far as my situation, my case is in the court. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker is DJ Mayfield, Gwang Wooten.
Leslie Allen Davis. Leslie Davis, 335 East Little Devil 441. People of the community, children, people listening to our cast. I've had two people tell me, one is 87 years old. He said, you waste your time going to the city council with some people. They use a lot of talk and wasting your time. You get back in and try to raise your family. And I had a lady named Miss Yard who cuts my hair sometimes. I owe $15 for it. She said, 75 to keep 32 cases. I won't come down there. She said, you just waiting your time. I'm 75 years old. I've been in the city all my life, and nothing there got done that city council. But still, keep trying. I have faith in y'all. And I want the city council to go. Don't tell them to come. I'm through. Can I give them 2 minutes? Please. I didn't give my 2 minutes. And, children of the world, you sit at home watching TV. Grab your uncle, grab your grandmother. Y'all need to work together like, the owner of William Chicken D's. His family taught, they said, when they went to school, instead of them just going to school and learning the grade, everybody in their family teach somebody something. And when they get back home, they had to teach them something so they'll know something, so they can make it easy on when they get their time to go to school. Because this is a generation that's going back to the moon. We got to go, we're going back to the moon. We can't go back to the moon like we did last night because space has changed, the world has changed, everything has changed. And we will have to go in a ballot box, electric format. We can't go in there just on one ship, just like I would never make it because it changed just that much. And what we should do for China, what China is supposed to be going for, is we should escort them to the moon. If they don't make it, we save them and then we land on the moon and do what we got to do and come back. And we must support Haiti the best we can, but don't forget about Israel. We must support Israel the best we can because that's the sign of the time. What's the heartbeat of America? Like the share of the heartbeat of America? It is the heartbeat of the world. So if you got any kind of change, help Israel, but don't get to know people that's wrong. Let's do it to help Israel to make it stronger and turn them left to do something else.
I got 15 seconds.
That was worth an extra 20 seconds.
Oh, I love you, Miss. I love you, Miss. Yeah, well, why? You're a pretty lady. I'm not sure. You tell your mama my proposal? You haven't answered me yet. You want to go out to the monster party?
Mr. Mayor, that's all about speaking.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much for the words you heard.